Talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen, former. You want to come at us? You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy.
Go ahead. Out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Renee Nicole Good wasn't a lot of things, but she also wasn't someone that deserves to be used to further divide Americans by the desperation of a governor and a mayor drowning in an ongoing fraud investigation.
Our police, many of whom are Somali themselves, are trusted partners in keeping people safe. They will not collaborate with any federal agency around doing immigration enforcement work. They will not cooperate with ICE agents.
Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven for undocumented immigrants.
In Minneapolis, we have your back. You will be protected and respected by our city employees, regardless of your immigration status.
I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis.
Minnesotans, don't take the bait. Do not take the bait. Do not allow them to deploy federal troops into here. Do not allow them to invoke the Insurrection Act. Do not allow them to declare martial law.
She also doesn't deserve to be used by the Mockingbird media as gasoline to be thrown on a fire.
As the vehicle passes, you can see the dark-colored SUV driven by Renee Nicole Good. That's on the right there in the back. The surveillance video taken by a home nearby. Agents can be seen milling about near the vehicle, then converging on it. And then you see right there the SUV begins to move, and that's when the shots are fired.
There's not the slightest doubt in your mind, having viewed it, that the victim, you still believe that she deliberately tried to ram him despite seeing this video.
Look, I don't know what is in a person's heart or in a person's head, and obviously we're not going to get the chance to ask this woman what was going on. What I am certain of is that she violated the law. If people want to say that we should have a legitimate debate about, you know, what was she really doing, right? Was she panicking when she drove into this officer, or was she actually trying to ram him? That's a reasonable conversation. What's not reasonable is for so many of you to plaster all over the media that this was an innocent woman and that the ICE agent committed murder, which is what many of you have said explicitly and some of you have said implicitly.
She also wasn't at the wrong place at the wrong time. And she wasn't merely a legal observer. She was an anti-ICE radical and apparently knew exactly what she was doing.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her. But she was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely, yeah, okay. That was her goal.
Did you guys know that she had enrolled her kid in a charter school in Minneapolis that was training parents to fight ICE? Because she absolutely did. The New York Post has an article out where they dug into this Southside Family Charter School a little bit. Apparently this school is where Renee Good, who was fairly new to Minneapolis, was introduced to ICE protesting in the first place. Oddly enough, this school sounds way worse than a leering sitter. It was opened in 1972 to have an unabashed focus on social justice education. No, really, this is straight from their website. We integrate social justice into every grade level, telling the stories of the people, not the people in power, and helping students understand history and their role in making the world a better place. A gym teacher who retired last month said that current events like George Floyd were a regular part of the curriculum. This is for little kids. So the article goes on to say that it was through her involvement with the community at Southside Family Charter School that Renee Good got involved with ICE Watch, a group dedicated to disrupting ICE.
And clearly her wife knew as well.
You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
So as the left continues down this path, it appears that Renee Good will only be the first of many. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Excuse me, this is not Brianna Morello.
Yeah, just kidding. It's Rob Due. That's right, I'm bookending the weekend here. I started... did the last show on Friday for Harrison, and now I'm doing the first show on Monday. Welcome to the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Due. Thank you for joining me. If you watch that John Bowne report, he really put a lot together of, you know, we don't know everything about Renee Good, but she doesn't deserve to be used as a trophy for the left to say, oh, you've killed somebody, now we have to go after ICE and whatnot. And I have a lot from this, and I think I'm going to start with Jen Psaki. I don't think I'll play the whole report, but she came out, and this came out about a Huffington Post posted it yesterday, and she's trying to say, oh, it's, she was trying to steer away from the guy. You can see her hand turning the wheel. And well, we can watch many angles of that and look at that, but just look at how, what I'm more interested in is how Jen Psaki is trying to sway public opinion by, you know, by opinion, just blatantly lying. And she's using her opinion, of course, but her opinion is, oh, ICE is bad. So whatever ICE is doing, we have to put it under this lens of being bad. So I think we'll go to that first. I'm going to take a lot of calls today, too. So we'll put out the number, in a little bit, and then we'll start taking calls. We don't have any guests lined up, although Brianna Morello may be popping in. She's on a bit of a mission, and I'm not sure what I can say about her mission, so I'm going to let her say it. But it has to do with her role as a Pentagon reporter. So let's go to Jen Psaki. This is a 4-minute report. I'll probably pull it out before that, but this just, listen to the words she's using. We've seen all the angles. She's seen all the angles, but her angles tell her something different than what your eyes see. Cause, you know, she's with MS now, which is, I guess, MSNBC. That's their rebrand to try and save face from lying to the public for so long. Here it is.
But I did want to start tonight with a new video of the shooting in question. Because today a right-wing outlet was the first to obtain and publish that video, which MS Now has now acquired as well. It is yet another angle of Wednesday morning shooting, and this time the video is from the perspective of a phone held by the shooter himself. And the right has quickly jumped on this new footage. I mean, they are all over it, claiming it somehow vindicates the ICE agent responsible for killing Renee Nicole Good earlier this week. They claim that because the shooter appears to fumble his camera, and because you can hear a loud noise, that this video must be evidence that Renee Good ran over or hit the agent with her car. That is what they have been blasting everywhere. But if you look at all of the evidence we have seen so far, that does not appear to be the case. Because so many people were filming this incident when it happened. We have a lot of footage that
hit pause right there.
Very different angles.
I want people to go back just a little bit, bring it back up on screen. You can see where she's backing up and she's got her wheels turned to the left, and then she backs up with her wheels to the left, and then she turns them to go straight. So you can see how she turns them, because they're saying she turned the wheel. Well, yeah, she turned the wheel because her wheels were completely left. But we'll continue. That's just the one thing they're going to say. Look, she's turning the wheel.
Different angles. And while I'm not a crime scene expert by any means, I certainly don't claim to be one. But when you put them all together, which we've tried to do here, the picture of what happened on Wednesday morning gets clearer. Now, DHS has said that the reason there was such a large ICE presence on that block to begin with was that an ICE vehicle had gotten stuck in the snow and other ICE vehicles had arrived to help get it out. Residents, seeing the large ICE presence, then began blowing whistles. You can hear them right there. To warn that ICE was there. And they also started to film. That's how we get a lot of this footage. So today's new video shows the shooter filming with his phone as he walks around Renee Nicole Good's maroon SUV. Good then tells the agent, "That's fine, dude. I'm not mad at you."
That's fine, dude. I'm not mad at you.
Okay. You then see Good pull forward slightly. You can see it on your screen and gesture for a vehicle to go around and pass her, which it does. From here, two things happen on opposite sides of the car simultaneously. The shooter continues circling the car. In the video on the left, you can see him filming the person who appears to be Good's wife as she films him and shouts at the officer. Now, in the video on the right, on the other side of the car, two more federal agents get out of this silver pickup truck and approach Good's car. Now, if you listen carefully, you can hear Good telling the agents to go around. Okay, after Good tells the agents to go around, they then told her, you could just hear that, to get the F out of the car. Good then backs her car up, away from the agents, apparently to leave. And today's new video shows her hands turning the steering wheel, clearly pointing the car in the opposite direction as the agents before she proceeds to drive forward, of course. And at the same point in the wider video, you can see that her wheels are already turned away from the agents as she begins to move forward. Okay, so that brings us to the piece of this new video the right has absolutely latched onto. A moment of impact of some kind in which the shooter's camera becomes unstable and shaky. And this is what many on the right say is evidence that the car hit the officer. So let's look at that moment on its own. So the right has seized on those 5 seconds, 5 seconds where you can't see much because the officer kind of fumbles his phone to say that the car must have hit the agent who shot
Good. Because he got hit.
They are claiming that that video vindicates the agent for firing those shots. But if you sync up that video with the other angle of that same moment, you can see that the car does not appear to run the agent over. In fact, the agent's feet are positioned away from the car. And as I mentioned, the car is already headed in the opposite direction.
Yeah. And you can see in that video they keep showing at the end, the agent's feet are still and he's being pushed back. He's obviously being pushed by the car. He's not moonwalking. Is he now a Michael Jackson backup dancer? No. He's being hit by the car. And so you go, oh, look, she's turning the wheel. Yeah, her wheels were all the way to the left and then she's turning it to go straight. And then you have, and yeah, they do go to the left as she's turning, but she hit the accelerator so hard you could see her wheels spin. Also, her wife was trying to get into the car, but she was so consumed with I'm not mad at you, bro vibes that she was going after this guy. And I don't know what her mindset is. We're never going to know her mindset because she's dead. But at the end of the day, she did hit the officer. You could see it on the camera. And that's it. But let's look at more. Why did they approach her and say, get the F out of the car? Let's go to clip two. You could just play this. This is like a 3-minute kind of time lapse. And we'll see where we can find the red SUV. We're looking for the red SUV when it comes in. So you can see it over there. There it is. They just showed a second of it. Are y'all there? Okay. This is somebody. There's the SUV. So she's blocking the road. And you can see her blocking the road for a long time. She's not dropping her kid off school. There's no school there. Did you see a school anywhere? No. We saw the car with the dinosaur in the back. There's another car with a shark in it. There's obviously some movie stuff going on in there. But you can see, there she is in the car blocking the road. Okay. That's another car. So this is an operation going on. So what the ICE agents were doing were like, hey, we're sick of you blocking the road. We're telling you to get out of the car. There's another video we saw a few days ago of a lady who had been doing that, been following ICE agents, and they had a local police officer stop and pull her over and say, listen, you can't do this. We're going to arrest you. We're going to pull you out of the car if you keep following us. And there's a reason. We've had police say this. When you're blocking a road, that's an ambush. In any setting in the world, that's an ambush. You can see the car is still there. That's an ambush set up. You always block in the front, the cars stop, and then a car rolls in from behind, and then the ambush team comes out from the sides. Okay, that's what these guys are trained to spot. So when you do that, that's what their mindset is. We're about to get ambushed. We don't think you're a nice person. They're like, oh, well, she's letting the cars go through. She's impeding traffic, and she's doing it because she's been trained to do it. All the stuff from the Bound video. So, of course, that doesn't stop the rest of the politicos from jumping on. Now, we've finally seen Ilhan Omar after days of just, you know, she was running cover for the Somali fraud. She has now jumped out. And she's going to go to the Whipple ICE Processing Center in Minneapolis. So we're going to go to this video now and see what she has to do. But we could see she's been blocking the car or blocking the road for several minutes. They're telling her to get out of the car so they could detain her and move her car so they could continue with their progress. All she had to do was get out of the car, but she didn't want to do that. They wanted to sit and antagonize. They had their whistles on. This was all planned. They're like, oh, they were stuck in the snow, so people just spontaneously gathered around. No, they follow these people around, which Owen Schroyer made an interesting point a couple days ago. Say, Pam Bondi said she was going to go after these networks that were setting up, you know, kind of like a quasi-neighborhood watch, but a community watch where, oh, we see ICE here, we're going to send out text to everybody who's on the text list and go after these people and block their progress. So this isn't spontaneous, which... You got to look at this and go, when it leads to crimes like impeding progress, you have to go, well, now we have to stop it. But she hasn't stopped it. None of these networks have been stopped. But here's Ilhan Omar leading the charge with her blue binder. Got a little blue binder on. So let's see what she has to say.
Hi, guys. Congresswoman Angie Craig. Hi, guys. Hi. We are exercising our congressional authority. Congresswoman Angie Craig.
Slow down, guys.
Congresswoman Kelly Morrison. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
Can we talk to you guys in there?
Yes. If we can come past, then we can probably talk to
have our supervision.
Yeah.
If you guys can move this way so we can have a conversation with them, that would be great.
Please, please, great.
Is that okay?
Please step back. The gate is coming down.
Right there. I don't want anybody to get hurt.
Wait, move to the side.
Fuck you, man.
Why do you have your pepper spray out?
Why do you have your pepper spray out, guys?
What's the danger?
So she doesn't have much to say. She just wanted to gain access to the facility. He's like, come on, let me in. They're like, no, we're not letting you in. You're not here for dialogue. You're here for some other reason. And the officers seem to be on edge because they're all holding their tear gas canisters.
Man, you should quit your job. You should quit your job.
You guys stay.
And now they're going to let her, and it seems like one of her chief of staffs, in to talk.
Fine, from behind the wire.
Congresswoman Kelly.
Megan.
And Megan from Kelly's.
Hey, do we need to clear the drive so the cars can get through?
Yep, get out of the driveway.
Get the driveway, guys.
Get out of the driveway.
Come through.
We have this, you all please back up.
This seems to be, hit pause for a second. This seems to be that they've come there to create another blockade scene so they can block progress. And that's why they had their large gaggle of people. And then they bring in three to go talk to the agents. And, of course, the agents are like, hey, we need to clear these people out. We need to drive cars in. So then they're like, you're right. We'd have no idea. So it's Ilhan Omar and two other House members, actually. I don't know who the other two are. I recognized Ilhan Omar. I didn't see any other squad people. Probably the other reps from Minnesota up there. But let's listen to the statement of the Seattle mayor, because at least she has the balls to say what she really thinks, not just, oh, we're here to talk. We're not here. They're here to impede. And that's what it's always been, because they don't like to see their voters being shipped back to their homeland. They like to see their voters sucking off the government dole and voting to stay in power, to keep these people in power. So here is the Seattle mayor. I think her name's Kristen Wilson. And she basically declares war on ICE agents. Here it is.
Yesterday, armed ICE agents in an unmarked vehicle detained three North Seattle neighbors at Evergreen Washelli Cemetery. I am furious at the federal government's abuse of power. It is unacceptable to kidnap people who are simply going about their lives. There is no place for this in Seattle. This latest abuse comes on the heels of the murder of Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis by federal agents. Renee was a poet, a caring neighbor, and a mother. Someone with a family whose community is now grieving unimaginable loss. These are not abstractions. These are real people, real families, and real harm. I know many people in our community are frightened and outraged about the way ICE and other federal enforcement agencies are being deliberately deployed across the country to intimidate and harm our communities. I am heartbroken and outraged, too. This moment demands action. Here's what we're doing. Seattle is a welcoming city. We already have laws in place that forbid our local police from aiding ICE in most instances. The police will adhere to these laws. That's an important step. But it's also true that we have limited authority with regard to the actions of federal agencies. And I know that our existing laws are not enough to keep people safe. So I'm working with Police Chief Barnes, City Attorney Evans, immigrant rights groups, and local leaders to identify every possible legal argument, public resource, and creative tool we can use to keep the people of Seattle safe. This will take all of us. I urge you to sign up for the Washington for All ICE mobilization alerts.
Oh,
and don't stop there.
There it is.
I encourage you to raise your voices and demand that every elected official does what they can to actually protect the people who make our neighborhoods home. This is a scary situation, and situations like this are when we show ourselves who we are and what we believe. Here in Seattle, we practice solidarity. Everyone should be safe in their homes, in their workplaces, and in their city. My message to our immigrant neighbors, this is your city. You should be safe here, and I'm determined to make it that way.
So these ICE alert message systems, what they're created for, they're not created to bring out protests. What they're created for is to create suicide protesters. And that's the big secret. They want people to come out there, get into a confrontation with ICE, and hopefully die. Because they're not going to go out. You saw Ilhan Omar acting respectful. She wasn't screaming through a bullhorn or doing anything to antagonize. No, she's going up there just to look at things and talk with people and just try to create a little blockade. But what they want and what they train these people to do is to impede the progress, to get in their way. And yeah, you know, if they were confiscating firearms or stopping people from protesting, which they haven't done any of that. Nobody's been stopped. They're getting screamed at. They're getting whistles blown at them. They're getting fireworks blown at them, which should be against the law, and I think it is. But they're not stopping any of that. They're only stopping when you're impeding their work. And what is their work? To deport illegal aliens. So these are all basic things. So what they've created are these apps to send people out there. So then say you have somebody who, well, they took the COVID shot and now they have, you know, stage four cancer. Well, what a way to go out in a bang by creating a name for yourself by, you know, doing something, attacking ICE officers, doing something like that to then be suicided by cop. So then, oh, you get the GoFundMe, you get all the accolades that go along with it. You get memorials put in your name. You get protests in your name. And that's a great way to go out. So they're creating these breeding grounds for literally suicide protesters to go out and be part of the movement. And that's what these things are. And that was the mayor of Seattle. Now, some of the Nick Sorter put this out over the weekend. And this is clip six. The locals, they're fed up with protesters blocking their streets. Here's one. This has got some cursing in it, but you know, I think it was important that this is real life. This isn't staged. This isn't like a movie. This is what's going on in reality, in the world. So I left the stuff in there. And some people, you know, they want to go along about their lives. They're trying to get to their jobs. They're trying to provide for their families. They're not paid protesters. They don't want to be part of that. They probably want to see people deported who are here illegally sucking off the government dole. So here it is, a short one-minute clip from Aliyah Scootercaster, posted up by Nick Sorter. Here it is.
Begun the Karen Wars have.
And there's only one thing more powerful than teens on social media, and that is Karens battling each other in the streets. That's probably enough of real life that we could get past the great censors at the FCC. And this one might even be worse, but this is a leftist man. This is clip five. He's at one of these protests and he's calling for people to bring guns and off these guys because they're so angry that their voting base is being deported that they want to resort to violence. Here it is.
People need to fucking show up with guns to face you guys. It's fucking time for an armed resistance against the United States of America.
Take your mask off.
This is done. We're done.
What's interesting, you can pull it down now. What's interesting is these are the same people that when Trump was creating the COVID vaccine, they were not going to take it. But as soon as Biden got into power, they were lining up for it. You see, it doesn't matter what reality is, because when Trump was making the vaccine, I ain't taking it. When Biden's making the vaccine, I ain't taking it. You see how that works? Because I have a brain. But what these people do, they follow orders. They're automatons. They get a new chip inserted and they go, okay, well, ICE was great or rounding up American citizens was great when they walk through the velvet ropes or were identified by different organizations as being on the Capitol on J6. May not have even gone in the building. We had some people that were just in the area and used credit cards and they were tracked down because the, you know, credit card companies were like, oh, here's all the information. We're good American citizens. We're going to help you out. And the telephone companies were able to track all these people and they showed maps of how they were able to track all the people around. That was okay. No one said anything about that, right? No one said anything about that. But when you have court orders to remove people from the country, you've got people going, oh, you're illegal, you're fascist. It's a court order. There it is. So we got a whole bunch more. I got a few more of these ICE clips. We'll round that out. I got some interesting video from a guy with some contacts in Venezuela about what type of weaponry we're now using. And it's basically FAFO. So you're watching the American Journal. Thank you for joining me.
They looked at sleep deprivation with creatine supplementation. And so they randomized people to either drink a placebo drink or drink 20 grams of creatine through the night. And they kept them awake all night and they had them do brain puzzle quizzes. And when the subjects were getting the 20 grams of creatine, they did way better on the brain puzzles, but they also complained about being tired a lot less. And so the conclusion is creatine is somehow acutely preventing your brain from suffering during sleep deprivation. And the rationale there is, you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell or the power plant that's producing the energy. Creatine is like the power grid and it distributes that energy throughout the cell. And so if the purpose of sleep is to restore the energy that you used up, but then you intervene by putting creatine in there, now you can keep that energy going and you can go more hours before you need to get rest and restore that energy because you've increased your capacity to distribute it.
That makes sense. Used to be people only thought of creatine as being a muscle thing. To help you recover. But then over the last year or two, I started hearing talking about cognitive function.
There is some literature on traumatic brain injury where 20 grams of creatine for 6 months doubles the rate of healing.
Whoa. That's incredible.
But it's, yeah, just creatine, I called it more than a performance enhancer because if you just look at where it's distributed in the body, almost every cell and every tissue has the creatine system. And if you look at the literature, they'll say, well, it's more important in certain cells. Like, it's really important in your muscles because your muscles have this very polarized, sometimes they're at rest, sometimes their energy demand is going through the roof. And it's really important in, like long cells. So for example, your retina is part of your central nervous system. It's this really long cell that's coming from the brain into the eye, and creatine helps move energy back and forth. But if you just look at where, instead of where is it most important, you just like, where is it? It's like almost every cell in your body has creatine, and it's helping distribute the energy that the mitochondria make throughout your whole body, and that includes pumping stomach acid, it includes sperm swimming up the vaginal canal. And so if you just look at where it is, you would think that creatine would help a lot more than muscles. And I think creatine is really important because it's not in the mitochondria so much as it carries forth the mitochondrial energy of the rest of the cell, but that also feeds back in the repair functions for the mitochondria. And so I think creatine, optimizing your creatine status is super important. And I think that everyone who's not eating 1 or 2 pounds of meat per day should probably be taking creatine.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
So, you know, the leftists are calling for armed rebellion. Oh, there you can see. That's a shot I hit this morning driving in to the office. You can see the beautiful sunrise in the capital of Texas. I mean, isn't that glorious? It even looks good through my dirty windshield. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Good morning if you're just getting up. It's 8:30 Central, 8:33 Central here in Austin, Texas. And you're live watching the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can follow me on X at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. Last segment, we were playing a bunch of clips of what's going on in the ice situation up in the frozen tundra of Minnesota. And we got a few more clips, and then we're going to move on to some fraud and some government. And I do want to give out the number now, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. We can start loading up the phone lines. And whatever you guys want to talk about, whatever you saw this weekend, obviously ice was all over my feed. Ice and this George Carlin clip, which, you know, I reposted it. I found, I found this clip somewhere. I downloaded it and posted it. I didn't repost it. And I'm listening to it and I'm like, I've never seen this Carlin bit. I'm not even going to play it because I'm almost 99% sure now that it's AI. But I'll play it over here. You can see kind of what it looks like on my phone. But I'm like, wow, I've never seen that. And I've seen a lot of Carlin. And we have a promo that we talk about with Carlin. And what, you know, there's a big club and you ain't in it. And I'm watching this and I'm like, you know, wow, I've never seen this Carlin. This looks like Carlin in his later years. You know, he's got the silver fox hair going on, slick back with a ponytail. This is, you know, early 90s, it looks like. I'm like, well, maybe I missed a part where he was talking about that. And, you know, it turns out I'm pretty sure it's AI, especially when you see the close-up shot. But it cuts to audience shots, so the AI is getting really good, folks. So you got to be, you know, really double-check things of what you see. But what he says, though, when you're watching this, you're like, okay, I could see Carlin saying this stuff, talking about how, you know, you have to have something to stand on. And it kind of goes with what I was showing that clip earlier, the guy saying, we got to come kill you guys. But I guarantee you that citizen was mostly, I would say probably 90% going, yeah, arrest those people on J6. Arrest them. Use every means necessary. You know, unless you're dropping bombs, then we got to wait a few years until other people start investigating. Then we come up with a guy who did all this, and we got him to admit it because, you know, I guess you could get autistic people to do whatever you want after a while. But let's go to this clip. This is footage from St. Cloud. A Somali mob rushes DHS agents during a raid with overwhelming numbers. So this is where they can. You could just kind of roll this. I don't even know if we need audio on it. But you can see there's two agents. And they got people filming them. And now they're coming out of the shopping centers. Things they never built, but they've moved into. They didn't build that. I think it was Obama said that. They didn't build that, but they're there.
You didn't build that.
Oh, that's right. It was you didn't build that. Not they didn't build that. He's like, you didn't build that. It's for they. So there they are. So it looks like dudes wearing dresses. That looks like a dude wearing a dress. Is that their Somali garb? Do they wear gowns? Kind of like the Arabs. And so they're chasing them out of a parking lot. Our bulb heads, good bulb heads, our citizens out there. Oh, wait, they're not all citizens. And a lot of them have been around for 10 years. What'd they say? After 10 years, 83% are still on public assistance. Can you imagine that? In 10 years, you can't get your crap together to have a real job that's making real money. No, you still have to be on government assistance after 10 years. Do you think that's cool? I mean, I think you get 90 days. You want government assistance? You get 90 days. That's 3 months. If you can't get it together in 3 months, maybe you're not ready for America. Maybe you need to go back. But they chase those guys off. Now, here's a video of Nick Sorter. Somebody else shot this. I guess Cam Higby might have shot it. He's credited here. But Nick Sorter is getting harassed by a mask wearer, and I guess they bumped him one too many times, so he pulled their mask off so he could see who was bumping him, you know, just to get a look at their face. But it's okay when they wear masks. Remember, we're not supposed to wear masks. We're criminals if we're wearing masks, unless we're fighting for the Somalis. Here it is.
You only talk to women?
You hit him one too many times. Notice it looks like they're all eating boxes of fudge rounds. Maybe we can find that song, I forget the guy's name, the ginger, Oliver Anthony, the boxes of fudge rounds. They all look like they have boxes of fudge rounds. And, you know, he's probably, I don't know what side he's on in this, or if he's choosing a side, probably not, but you can see most of these protesters, they're eating their boxes of fudge rounds. So, but let's kind of Well, I have two clips before we get to the end of our Somali coverage. This is a clip that came out over the weekend. It came out yesterday, or at least somebody posted it yesterday, but it's a man probably on TikTok, talking about a young lady who called for help and a Somali police officer came in. I remember when this happened. This is a couple years ago, and the Somali police officer shot this lady and killed her. She called for help. She gets shot. And there was no protest. There was nothing. Why? It was a Somali police officer and we're not supposed to say, so we have to turn off our moral compass when it's our political ally, which is the Somali. So, here's a guy talking about before Renee Good. Here it is.
So do you know who the last white girl to get unalived by law enforcement in Minneapolis was before Renee Good? No. You don't. And I bet you don't know that the person who did it was the first Somali police officer in the entire United States.
Wow.
Convicted of murder. And it was later overturned by the Minnesota Supreme Court. And they only served a couple years. Bet you didn't know that, did you?
And it's like, you know, they bring these guys up on fraud and they get convicted in the... The judges go, the white liberal lady judges go, oh, we're going to put these Somalis back on the streets because they didn't know. And this also came out over the weekend. Never forget when liberal paid protesters and one immediately went out and bought drugs. Here's just at least he's holding the sign, though. I mean, you got to say he's still earning his money. Looks like a Hillary Clinton rally, you know, typical Hillary Clinton rally. Let's go ahead and roll that. There he is. Yeah. Maybe the fentanyl, that's what the fentanyl does. It allows them to still hold the sign and they don't move. They're not causing any trouble. It's kind of a smart thing to do. Give your protesters fentanyl or give them enough money so they can go out and buy it. So they could still hold the signs and be, yeah, look, see, almost woke up. Not quite.
Son, what you need is some ultimate power.
You think that's what he needs? We give him some ultimate power with the fentanyl?
Patriot punch. That's what you need. Or you could try Freedom Mango, available at thealexjonesstore.com. Wake your ass up, son. Stop doing the fentanyl. We need you out there doing something good, being a productive citizen. Ugh. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right. So kind of what's going hand in hand with... Oh, this is the... Okay, we do have some interesting information from the Seattle Police Department. They just gave me these. And so it looked like people had called. They thought there was a kidnapping going on. And so the ICE agents, I guess maybe the police were called and then the ICE agents were called into there, and you know, people were in a cemetery. There's, I could say three reasons why you're in a cemetery. Maybe four. You go walk your dog at the cemetery, or you're visiting a dead relative. You're at a funeral. You're doing a drug deal. Or you're hiding. I think those are probably the four reasons you'd be in a cemetery. So that got the mayor of Seattle all her panties up in a bunch. So let's go to this. And then I'm going to get to Jerome Powell and his statement, because now he's being investigated. And we kind of knew this was happening. Trump had already, you know, showed him how he went over budget. You know, I guess he's building a bike path and a, was it a lazy river at the top of the Federal Reserve? Is that what they were building? Is that why it cost so much money? You have to carve out the marble to put in the lazy river. And the Cabana Bar and whatever else they're putting at the, in the Federal Reserve, they're doing a bunch of renovations. And here's Trump building his ballroom and they're bitching about that. But nobody's bitching about what Jerome Powell's doing. Look, he's looking at it. He's like, let me see this. This is, oh no, these numbers are all wrong. No. This is for several buildings. He's trying to get technical with him. Yeah. And Trump's like, Yeah. You think I don't know construction, bro? There it is on the Drudge Report. Trump unleashes criminal probe on Fed chairman. And I want to get to that. We'll get to that in 1 second. But
Nick Shirley's boomer bro, Dave, or David as they call him, the boomer zoomer connection, who went there and kicked off the fraud investigations, because we can't just look at fraud and look at the whistleblowers. We have to have a zoomer with a podcast and a YouTube channel go out there with a guy who's been investigating it for years. And, you know, poor Nick Shirley's getting the brunt of the hate from, you know, the Somalis who don't like their scams being uncovered. But here's David. He said there's another video about to come out. There's another video about to come out. The crew just put up this, if you're listening, it's Tim Walz and Ilhan Omar. You know, it looks like a rap video, and they're smoking cigars, lighting them off of, dollar bills. This is great. Whoever put this together. Does this have music to it? Oh, okay. They do some good work. The Tour Brothers, is that what she said? D-O-R, the Door Brothers. Yeah. There they are. I like to see that they're equal. They were going, doing some anti-Trump stuff in the beginning, or just kind of like boss Trump. So this is like boss Tim Walz and boss, Ilhan Omar. But let's go to Nick Shirley's right-hand man, David, talking about what they've uncovered. This is a 6-minute clip. We're not going to play the whole thing, but we'll play a little bit of it, and then you can go find the rest online. Here it is.
So I've been researching this issue, of fraud, and most specifically Somali fraud, because it is so gargantuan, for the past 7 years. Many of you are familiar with the video that Nick Shirley and I made. We have a second video that's coming out Monday that is 10 times worse than the original video. It's going to be pretty shocking, and it's pretty graphic. So what I have here is a 5-year recap of all of these CCAP money, that's child care assistance payments, for the last 5 years. The top 102 recipients of that, 84 of them are Somali-owned. You know how many children I've seen at those child care centers over the last 7 years? Zero, not one. There's another pile of money, and it's called Great Start, and that money is given to the facility to train their staff. Well, if you don't have any kids, you don't need any staff. Then what I believe is the core of all this is this non-emergency medical transportation. So a search showed that Minnesota recognizes 1,020 NEMT companies. Almost 900 of them are Somali-owned. So in the second video, Nick Shirley and I went to 16 of them. I've actually been to about 70 of them. They don't exist. They're in an apartment building. One of them's a liquor store. Another one's a wire transfer. Another one is something totally unrelated. It's a grocery store. There are no vehicles. And the average NEMT company in the United States has 20 vehicles, and each vehicle generates about $70,000 a year. So you take, you run those numbers, 800 companies, 20 vehicles, $70,000 a year, and it's an enormous sum of money that's going out. So my feeling is that chasing the money transfers and the wires and the SARs is great, but you got to drop like Batman on Minnesota DHS, because they're the ones who are writing the checks. They're the ones allowing the fraud to happen. Look, you can blame the Somalis, but if you stick your hand out and someone puts $100 in it, yet you're going to stick your hand out again, and keep the people who are putting the $100 in have got to stop doing it. They got to get out of their office and go out and look at these facilities and say,
oh, you think that's the problem, Dave? You think that's the problem? That they're not going out and looking at where this money's going? You think that's really the problem? No, come on, Dave. Don't be naive. You've been covering this for 7 years. And he's right. Yeah. If somebody sticks out their hand, they get $100. Can you really blame them for sticking it out again? No, they've been coached. They've been trained on how to set up these businesses. The numbers of some of these places go to Tim Walz's office, and he's still walking around. How long is this going to happen? You know, as we finish this up, let's go to Clown Car, who says, Jen Psaki sucks, and he wants to talk about the clip. Go ahead, Clown Car. I talked to you on Friday. You actually had a good question for, Royce White.
Correct. Captain Clown Car reporting for duty, Rob, you sir. I would like to first of all say that Jen Psaki is not quoting that video correctly. She should have arrows over each one of the officers in the framed head, showing the one that's hidden behind the front of the vehicle and in the line of sight of the guy they're actually videoing. So, yeah, there is a situation where he's probably not being hit by the car, the one that she's talking about, but definitely the guy in front of the car got hit by the vehicle. You should show that video more and more, please.
Yeah, we're showing it. We just showed that back angle, the behind angle, and you can see the guy's feet. If you watch his feet, not the guy by the door, but the guy in front of him, you can see his feet move back like he's being pushed. Okay, yeah, he's not moonwalking. Is he a dancer for Michael Jackson?
Absolutely
no, he's
not.
Being pushed. No.
We need to circle back and get a back shot of the tacky or whatever her name is. Hey, listen, one thing I wanted to bring up. Have you noticed that when the ball dropped, that it was 40 seconds off?
I did not notice that because where was I? I was here, and I think we were trying to figure out. We had this because we have a 2-minute break at the time where the ball would drop. We were just making sure we had everything ready to go. So we went over the break right there and we were setting that stuff up and we were pouring champagne in everybody's glasses, but I wasn't watching New York to see what happened. But so it was 40 seconds off.
So it not only is it 40 seconds off, even with the 27 second delay. So we have a situation, Rob, where I believe they've been shaving the clock. And I believe that since shaving the clock can take a few minutes, few hours off of a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, is actually a month stolen. So I will figure it out better, but I'm sure people out there who listen to the Clown Car know my conspiracy theories usually are correct. We are being robbed of about a month's time out of the year's calendar through the time.
I feel like time is speeding up. I feel like we used to have a lot more time, and now I feel like there's no time, especially in the morning when I'm trying to get to this show and get my kids ready for school and then driving through traffic to get here. Not one of my favorite activities to do. It is once I'm here on the air, but getting here is a pain in the ass. And I'm always, feels like I'm pressed for time. I was watching the old 80s Flash Gordon movie. Interesting. They just showed this hourglass and in Flash Gordon world, the sands run up the hourglass. So it could have something to do with it, but there's a theory going around that we've lost several hundred years because a king or a pope wanted to be ruling during the year 1000. So he got rid of like 300 years. Maybe you guys can look that up and print that out and we'll cover that because yeah, that could be part of the thing. Oh, when we need time, we just do something. And so maybe it is 40 seconds here and there. It's supposed to be a couple seconds, like one or two every year because of the rotation of the earth going around the sun that they go, we lose or gain. I think we lose the seconds, with all the,
Rob,
the running around. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. And also in the, original Bibles, it also says that the time frame, we're about, at 6000 BC, BC, AC,
AD,
AC, DC. So yeah, it's we're in a situation where if you check the original Bibles from, I think it's 200 some odd years ago, it actually tells you the year of Jesus's birth. And right, that would be considered, it's off by about 6,000 years. So anyway, time is man-made. Don't let them burn the books. I'm an InfoWarrior for life. Love you guys. Happy New Year. Rob, do your rule. Let's bring back the truckers' calls. I miss the truckers. Oh, right.
Those hey, if you're a trucker out there, call in. I love talking to truckers.
I'm a trucker. I'm driving the kids to Yeshiva right now, so I'm a trucker.
Yeah. Well, that's why you call in, and you got the clown cars. So you're packing them in. Love hearing from you, brother. Hey, guys, bring up the Phantom Time Conspiracy right there. That was on Wikipedia, the Phantom Time Conspiracy. The Holy Roman Emperor, Otto III, and Pope Sylvester, they fabricated Autodome dating retroactively. Let's see, according to them... they have a phantom life of 297 years. So they went from 640. And so they got rid of the years 640 to 911. Oh, interesting. 911 added to the early Middle Ages. So then they could all be, they wanted to rule during the year 1000. Cause I'm sure that, you had a lot of festivities planned. You're like, we can't wait 297 years. We got a party to run. Let's go to Michael in Florida. Wants to talk about the vehicle that hit the agents. Go ahead, Michael. And then I'll go to Chad in Minnesota. Go ahead, Michael. Hi.
Hey, man. Hey, Rob. Appreciate you stepping in this morning. So I think a lot of people are looking at this video as the agent in front of the car that, you know, obviously shows that he was hit. And the question is, could he have gotten out of the way and not fired his weapon? But I think it's way more involved than that. The agent that's reaching in the window has his arm fully inside the window. And at that point, if you go back through history, any agent or any officer that's reaching in a window has a great potential of being dragged by that car.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of people are missing this, is that it's not just the guy in front of the car, but it's just, you know, it's his team.
Right.
It's the guy reaching in the window that could have been hung up by a seatbelt or had his clothes snagged by something, whatever it may be.
And that guy was dragged already, the guy who fired the shot. That had happened to him before.
Exactly. Exactly. And he's like, I'm not going to let one of my, you know, team members be dragged to death. So I think there's way more into this than just, hey, he could have jumped out of the way. But, I mean, she looked directly at him and still gunned it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And she's biting her lip when she does it. And that's usually a sign that you're, you know, you're angry, even though she says she's not mad. When she does that, that usually means that you're pretty angry. And, you know, I was reflecting on what Royce White said on Friday. He said, you know, I think the officer was justified. I don't think he should have shot her. In the end, you know, no one did get run over, but he was justified in doing it. But what happens? You kill a white woman and you're bringing people out. Now you've escalated the situation even more. And you gave the Democrats what they wanted. They wanted a suicide by cop. They wanted a martyr. They wanted somebody that they could build signs to. They wanted their George Floyd. Now it's, you know, Georgina Floyd. They wanted all that. Now they have it. So you got to look at that too. Did that help the situation? It brought more attention to it. Definitely. We're all analyzing, you know, 10 seconds of video nonstop looking for anything to justify what this guy did. In the end, the courts are going to determine, will this guy get a fair trial in Minnesota, or will it be a federal trial? I mean, who knows? This is all, something's going to happen if somebody files charges against him, which it doesn't look like anybody's done it yet, but all right. Second hour coming up. We're going to continue with your calls. Thank you for calling Michael in Florida. And we'll be right back with the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for joining me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Oh, 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 oh. Hey!
joining us. Good morning. Hope you're having a great morning. Hope you're not freezing your butt off out there protesting ICE agents doing their duty that has been mandated by the American people. And if you're Jerome Powell over at the Federal Reserve, well, you're in a bit of a pickle. Seems like you're not supposed to put a lazy river and cabana set up on top of the Federal Reserve building, but your renovations have gone way over budget. Who knows why? Who knows why? I wonder what the salary for the Federal Reserve is. Oh, we don't get to see that, do we? Because they're not a government organization. They're a private run for profit company. Look, there he is. Look, you see? We have the imagery right there of Jerome Powell trying to enjoy his lazy river while he prints money out of thin air and loans it to the government at face value plus interest. So let's go to his statement. NBC News reports, hey, you know, you got to commend Jerome for saying, you know, no one is above the law, certainly not the Federal Reserve chairman. But we have ways to kill people who try to enforce the law is what he didn't. That was, I think, the second part of that sentence. But this unprecedented action would be seen in a broader context of the administration's threat and ongoing pressure. The latest wave for the administration to exert control over the Fed and its decision about interest rates. So it's the top on Drudge Report. Let's go to the Fed's statements, a minute 35. Here it is.
Good evening. On Friday, the Department of Justice served the Federal Reserve with grand jury subpoenas, threatening a criminal indictment related to my testimony before the Senate Banking Committee last June.
Mm.
That testimony concerned, in part, a multi-year project to renovate historic Federal Reserve office buildings. I have deep respect for the rule of law and for accountability in our democracy. No one, certainly not the chair of the Federal Reserve, is above the law. But this unprecedented action should be seen in the broader context of the administration's threats and ongoing pressure. This new threat is not about my testimony last June or about the renovation of the Federal Reserve buildings. It is not about Congress's oversight role. The Fed, through testimony and other public disclosures, made every effort to keep Congress informed about the renovation project. Those are pretexts. The threat of criminal charges is a consequence of the Federal Reserve setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public, rather than following the preferences of the president.
That's why your dollar has lost all its purchasing power since we came into
being. Based on evidence and economic conditions, or whether instead monetary policy will be directed by political pressure or intimidation. I have served at the Federal Reserve under four administrations, Republicans and Democrats alike.
Way too long.
In every case, I have carried out my duties without political fear or favor, focused solely on our mandate of price stability and maximum employment. Public service sometimes requires standing firm in the face of threats. I will continue to do the job the Senate confirmed me to do, with integrity and a commitment to serving the American people. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of here, all right? We're done with you globalist scum. Appoint Ron Paul as the Fed chair. You want to see people pull their hair out? You want to see the country literally go on fire? Appoint Ron Paul as the Fed chair and let him audit it. And we'll see some real action. This is Tim Burchett on fraud in the Pentagon as we go to break. Listen to this. This is a very interesting clip. It's from an interview from a longer documentary, but here it is.
You have a Pentagon that has billions of dollars that they hide. We don't ask for any accounting of. They never pass an audit. In the history of audits, I've often said the only way we're really going to get to the bottom of this is somebody's going to walk out of one of these labs with this information and puts it out on the internet before they commit suicide by shooting themselves in the back of the head five times.
Yeah. There you go. You don't want to uncover the fraud in the government. That's what happens. And, you know, the Federal Reserve isn't even part of the government. That's the beautiful thing about it. Private, run-for-profit Federal Reserve. Running our country as only it can do best.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon, polyphenols, and bioperin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
He's found it down, loaded up and trucking.
We're into the second hour of The American Journal. There's my shot again of the great overpass that took many years to complete of I-35 and 71, also known as Ben White. And all the, I marvel at those giant overpass situations that they build. These giant, like, they don't need to be that tall, but it's like, no, we're going to make it 150 feet. Okay? That's how we do it in Texas. You go to, where they built the toll roads out there, and they have, you go up and you're like, why are we so high? Why are we 200 feet in the air? It seems like. And you're like, wow, it's a great view. That's one thing. Maybe that's why they do it. All right. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Chad, Minnesota. Wants to talk about the, ICE agents and Ilhan Omar. Go ahead, Chad.
Morning, Rob.
Morning.
Calling about Ilhan's visit to the St. Paul ICE or immigration detention facility. Over, I think it was Saturday, and the video that you played. And I found that rather interesting that Ilhan and her presence there and knowing the situation with her background, with the immigration marriage fraud potential.
Yeah, why didn't she get grabbed?
And the
grabbed?
Fact that she...
Let's bring
yeah,
you in.
Well, that's,
well, maybe and, she was, yeah, maybe I mean, she I, was turning herself in. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I thought, well, I guess I look at it as one of two things. You know, maybe they don't have a case, and she knows this, or that subpoena that the House Republicans just moved to try to achieve to get for her to actually subpoena her records didn't come soon enough. So I thought that was rather interesting. I was like, ah, too bad. I guess we lost out on another opportunity to nab a...
She has been very quiet since the Somali fraud was uncovered. Like, this is the first time I think I've seen her out talking about anything. And yeah, maybe she did have some paperwork for him. She did have a blue binder.
And I noticed that they ramped up the security afterwards too, which the group was, you know, it's interesting you watch that. Even Angie Craig then tells that group, would you move back? This is federal property. She tells the group that she came in with and disrespects the group as if, like, we don't need you anymore. Get out of here.
Right. You were here for us to march up to give us some numbers of support, which it mainly looks like a lot of media. It doesn't even look like a ton of protesters. So that's Angie Craig right there that we're showing. She was the one on the right with the blue jacket.
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing I've noticed with this, with all of this that's going on, I guess maybe to try to get people to understand Minneapolis, the city. It's like Hollywood, where if you speak up and you're on the right, yeah, Minnesota nice goes right out the door.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's like Hollywood. You're not going to get anywhere. So in the Minneapolis council members are all, if you look at Ballotopia, you can find their organizations. Just dig into it. And it's all of them have the same beliefs as the previous regime. And my concern. Yeah, well, and LGBT, you know, all that stuff. I mean, there's this numerous stuff. So you go into that. And the big thing is that how is anybody going to infiltrate that as an actual candidate for any of those openings that come up? Obviously the mayor Fry, his opening is now gone, And that's the other thing too. He had a video that he did an interview over the weekend with MS Now or whatever it is. And he talks about, it's funny how he said, you don't need to take my word for it. You don't need to take their word for it. Just watch the video. And then he goes in and tells his story of what he saw at the scene. Yeah. So wait a minute. Didn't you just tell us to watch the video?
No, watch it from like his perspective is what he meant to say. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you know, hey, let me ask you this. Is there any, who owns the car with the dinosaur on it that was there at the scene of the shooting? So the dinosaur witnessed everything. And I think there's a shark there too. There it is. Yeah. So so is this part of the Hollywood you're talking about? These are special effects people, or what is the deal with this giant dino car? And there's the shark.
Yeah, that's the other aspect is that's Gotham City, right? You have the clowns from the Joker. You have, you know, the governor's, that's the governor's side. I mean, I used to actually live right in the city in Uptown, and it's just, again, you know, if you say anything, it's that Minnesota Nice does not exist. It's, you know, which is a joke anyway, I'll be honest. But, you know, you don't get anything. You're never going to get anything accomplished with this core in Minneapolis because there's just no pen. You cannot get in there and make a change to it. I dare anybody that's trying to run for office to try to get in there and see if you can get votes and clean that up.
Right.
Even with having Royce. I mean, Royce White is awesome. That's an awesome start. And I'm all for getting people up above as well. But, you know, as soon as if you can get the governor, but you have to get the mayor. The mayoral thing is.
Hold on. We have a video of Tim Walz riding in on a rubber ducky for his campaign event. I mean, this is crazy. Tim Walz is out of control.
I mean,
wow.
He is.
I mean, this guy, he does look uglier now, though. Now that we've exposed him, he's getting uglier and uglier. Ugh. I'm kidding, people. If you're watching this on TV, it's the penguin. Or as my friends from Russia called him, the penguins. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Chad. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Wants to talk about Nick Shirley's Greenland video. Go ahead, Andrew.
Minnesota Nice. It is true if you compare it with New Jersey.
Welcome to Jersey. Now go home.
He's always reminds me of is it Sesame Street, the Muppets, and the two old grouchy men that are on the balcony that criticize. Like, I always think of that guy. But I wanted to talk about Greenland and also with Trump's, you know, thinking he's right geopolitically. But when Nick Shirley went to Greenland, he's amazing, Nick, but he didn't ask the questions properly about NATO and that somehow they're a NATO nation, even though they don't actually have a military. And I would have asked him that, like, well, you don't want to be part of America. Clearly they didn't. And yet they want America to have to fight to defend them if Russia invades. So it's like, no way. I would do the opposite of try to buy Greenland. I would take our Air Force out and say, okay, you're on your own. If Russia invades, you have to fight. My wife from Thailand is a big ally with the United States. They have their own military. My relatives, my cousins in the Army, another's in the Marines, and they people from our Marines, they go to Thailand and they do co-training. So if Thailand gets invaded, they're not just going to depend on America. And going back to the Vietnam War, the air bases were in Thailand. So they're actually putting themselves at risk, too. They're going to risk their lives to fight for Thailand. Where Greenland, no, we're not part of Denmark either. Well, Denmark is going to fight for you. You're not going to have any of your own soldiers. So I was just appalled, like, when I was hearing the man on the street sound. It's like, wait a minute. You think you're morally superior to America. You're not in wars. But, okay, now you guys defend yourself. So what I would do is the opposite. I would take our air base out, and I would try to reform NATO and say you have to actually have a military. But your thoughts on that, how unfair, because we hear about the fraud, which of course is unfair, but how unfair that is that Greenland is going to ask other countries to send their soldiers to die for them if Russia or someone else invades, yet they're not going to actually put up any army. They'll throw salmon. They'll throw, you know, like anchovies at the Russian soldier. But isn't that horrendous that they get to be part of NATO and they're independent from Greenland, but they don't actually have an army? How could that even be possible? Your thoughts on that? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of countries that are in NATO that are very small and don't do much other than, and they're in NATO for that blanket of support. But here's an article from the New York Times. Buy Greenland? Question mark. Take it? Question mark. Why? Question mark. An old pact already gives Trump a free hand. So we saw the article on Friday where it said Trump was drawing up military plans. But if you look at the, there's an actual agreement. I'm going to scroll down to this. Under a little-known Cold War agreement, the United States already enjoys sweeping military access to Greenland. Right now, the United States has one base in the very remote corner of the island, but the agreement allows it to, and this is, quote, construct, install, maintain, and operate military bases across Greenland. Not in one little corner, across. House personnel and control landings, takeoffs, anchorages, moorings, and movements, and operation of ships, aircraft, and waterborne craft. It was signed in 1951 by the United States and Denmark, which colonized Greenland more than 300 years ago and still controls some of its affairs. So Denmark doesn't have as much control as they think. We already have a treaty signed. And a lot of people don't know this. Nick Shirley probably didn't even know this. And that's the thing. You know, these young guys go out there and they get the hits because they're young people are watching their videos and so they get some money. So they're able to go out and do these things. They don't quite have all the gravitas and acumen necessary. But then you team up Nick Shirley with an old boomer like Dave, and I don't mean to call him old, but, you know, Dave is a boomer. And then Dave goes, hey, look, I've been investigating this for 7 years. Let me take you to all the places. And they've got a video dropping today, apparently, which is 10 times worse than the video they dropped last time. And he's showing, in my 7 years, I've looked at some of these daycares. There's no kids in them. Of the 100 that I've looked at, 80-something are operated by Somalis, and none of them have kids. So, yeah, while Nick Shirley goes into some of these places and he doesn't really know, but he's giving people like kind of a candid everyman's look of how the people feel, and he may not know the greatest questions to ask, and he may not know any questions to ask. He may just say, what do you think? But at least he's getting something out, and he's giving that perspective on the ground, which is amazing that, you know, the news media should be out doing that, but they're so caught up in hating Trump, they don't even want to go to Greenland and show that, you know, even, but the New York Times is reporting, hey, we've got a treaty signed in 1951 that we can go in there. But no, nobody wants to say that. They just want to say Trump's going to invade Greenland. There is no invasion that's going to take place. It's already there that we can go in there and build whatever we want. So when he says invasion, that's just to troll the media because they're going to go crazy. Trump knows that it's already on the books that we can go in there and do whatever we want and control the space around it. It's there. All we have to do is go in and do it. Is that a great use of resources? I don't know. He's obviously doing it for a perceived war with China and a China-Russia alliance, which if you go up to the Arctic Circle, Russia's not very far away. You know, when they fly to Russia, here's a little, I forget the name of the book. It's Major Jordan's Diaries, I think. We were flying heavy water from Montana over the Arctic Circle into Russia in the 1950s to give them the components they needed to make the bomb. Why? Because we wanted a Cold War. Maybe they thought if we have a Cold War, we won't have a hot war. And so if we have two giant superpowers on either side of the globe building up armies and controlling their area of influence, you know, we would be safer. Maybe that's what they thought. I don't know. That's what happened, though. We gave the USSR the components to build the bomb. So then when they dropped their bomb, you know, several, I think 6 or 7 years after we dropped ours, it was like, oh, well, now we have mutually assured destruction. So, and in essence, that did create an era of peace. But did it really? No, it kind of gave rise to China. So thanks for your call. Let's go to Timothy in Washington. By the way, 877-789-2539. We're taking calls all the way through. I've got about, I don't know, five callers, six callers left, but let's go to Timothy in Washington. Let's talk about the PSYOPs. Go ahead, Timothy.
What's up, Rob? How you doing, brother?
Are you a trucker? You sound like you're driving.
No, I am driving, going to work.
Okay.
But I got a few questions, but it popped in my head a few weeks back that I would join ICE, okay? I'm not a big fan of the federal government right now because we're getting rugged left and right, but if Trump wanted me to join ICE, he simply has to indict Fauci. So if ICE recruitment is down, Trump could literally just market it. I'll indict Fauci if you join ICE. And if I would do it, I would literally join ICE tomorrow if Trump was to indict Fauci.
You know, it'd be interesting to see him set up what's going on now is kind of like a game show, you know, sort of like the home version of Running Man. You know, we'll do this if we indict this. I would love to see some of these people indicted, wouldn't you? You think it's a little time that we, some people get indicted? Well, one? Can we get one?
I don't think it's going to happen, honestly. But I mean, we could fantasize about it as best we can, because that's the only real reason why we kind of voted, is because we just got so sick of it and this was our only option.
Yeah.
But with the PSYOPs, Rob, I'm kind of curious because, like, a lot of the people just popped out of the woodwork, right? A lot of young voices and yada, yada, yada. But, like, with Nick Shirley, he's out of Latter-day Saints. He's out of the Church of Latter-day Saints. And what we've noticed is that there's a lot of people that just decided to appear one day, and they're coming from nefarious, you know, rhino think tanks and stuff like that. And so it's kind of frustrating when we see the truth movement become this narrative factory. You know what I'm saying? And I called in to Brianne a couple times about this because it's very frustrating to see the truth movement become a narrative factory. What do you think?
Well, in some ways it does do that. And, you know, yeah, Nick Shirley going through his, you know, I never knew what to make of the guy in the beginning, but it seems like when he got teamed up with somebody who knew what was going on, the message got out, and I think it got a little bit bigger than they thought it was going to be. Like that video, that first video that they put out got like, you know, 10 million views in a couple days. And so I don't think that's necessarily what they wanted. I don't think that they wanted people to know that all this money going to these daycares is just basically being siphoned off to other campaigns, because that's what's happening. And I saw a clip of General Flynn. He was actually investigating into these things in Louisiana. And he saw that the same type of operations are going on in Louisiana, and they're funding Senator or Representative Johnson's campaign, the Speaker of the House. So it works both ways. It's on both sides. That's why nothing's ever been done about it. This was like a little secret. Hey, we get to give money to these daycares for childcare, and they're just funneling money back into our campaigns, and that's how it works. So you weren't going to see either side talk about it. So I think that there was a punch through the narrative. But on a lot of other issues, I think a lot of these young guys that are promoted and gals that are promoted by the system are doing it to either muddy the waters or just keep everything in rage bait area, a rage bait territory. So people are just shouting at each other instead of looking at the real issues. So thanks for your call. Yeah, you know, everything's a PSYOP. Hell, I got PSYOPed over the weekend with a George Carlin clip, so it can happen. Let's go to, got about 5 minutes left. Let's go to Tim in California. I don't know if he's saying there's a vax against fentanyl or we need a vax against fentanyl. Go ahead, Tim.
It's they're creating a vaccine that everyone will have to take. The first time I heard about this was like 3 weeks ago. I called it into Brianna. Mm-hmm. Their website specifically brags right on the front page, yeah, this is backed by the Department of War. This is next generation biodefense.
Oh.
And their first
Give us the website so we can pull it up real quick.
ARMR Sciences.
ARMR Sciences. All right. ARMRSciences.com. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I'm reminded that just before Trump took office this second time, about a year ago, there was 11 bus-sized drones flying over New Jersey, very low, and some of them at night in, you know, semicircular patterns, spraying something. I'm thinking, maybe that's what's next, is they're going to be spraying us with stuff, and the only way you can guard against it is you'll have to be vaccinated. And by the way, it only lasts about a year. So you'll need a booster, too.
Ugh.
So this is like one of those boy cried wolf things. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but you kind of already messed up the punch at the party, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. You've already killed a lot of people with your mRNA vaccine. So anything else that has the words mRNA in it, I think most people are going to say no thank you. But you still have people going out getting those vaccines. You still have them. So it hasn't killed everybody yet.
I know you're short on time. As a parting shot, unless you live in L.A., you might not have seen this yet. Yesterday afternoon, there was an anti-Iranian regime rally in Los Angeles in front of the federal building, the Westwood neighborhood federal building there on Wilshire, Wilshire federal building. And a U-Haul drove into a crowd of people, and you know, a couple of them got hurt or whatever, and they took the guy into custody and so forth. But what was significant is he had banners on the truck that said, "No Shah, no regime, USA. Don't repeat 1953, no Mullah," this sort of thing.
I saw
and
that.
Demonstration,
yeah, okay. and then I saw the police said nobody got hurt afterwards. Well, but you can look at the video. It looks like if anybody was standing near that U-Haul, they would have gotten hurt. So this was a current Iranian regime U-Haul.
Right.
And I can think maybe we can say this wasn't a Fed operation because they use Ryder trucks. They seem to have a contract with Ryder, not with U-Haul. So it could be there's a lot of different groups, and I think Greg Reese interviewed a guy who could have been the leader of Iran at one point. I forget the guy's name. This was years ago. But he was...
Party shot.
Yes.
I got a party shot. For Clown Car, he was worried about time. Just remember, in April, Donald Trump, President of the United States, said he has a secret weapon that can manipulate time and space. Uh-oh.
That's true. And maybe that's happening. Maybe they used it on New Year's Eve as a parting shot in before handing it over to Mondami. So who knows? Thanks for calling, Tim. Lots of interesting points. All right, Bregan, we're going to you. You're in Wisconsin. Wants to talk about my time working here. This isn't about me, but go ahead. Ask your question.
Hey, Rob. I was just wondering about get to the point of what you've been through and how many years you've been there. I wanted to give a shout out to the Rod and Gibson community because they really, when I lose signal through InfoWars or Rumble or whatever, I can still get through with Ron Gibson.
And let me just say, Ron Gibson has the greatest yearbook shot of all time. If you go to Ron Gibson's channel, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of like the first guy from MySpace or whatever. So, what have you been through over the years? Because I've been calling in for 22 years now, and I was wondering what have been some of the most prolific experiences that you feel like talking about. Working as the right-hand man, because you're there year in, year out. You've got as much gray as I do. And I was just curious, is anything you wanted to share with the community of InfoWars, Free Speech Systems, and you folks actually asked me to work for you, and I can't handle the
excess. Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to answer that after the break. I got to think about it because there's been a lot. I've been here since 2009, February 9th. So after the break, I will share people some of my greatest memories, I guess, and some of my worst memories. It's been a lot.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it
that has like a decent flavor to it. So the, I mean, the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
I just, you know, some people call in the, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
So Bregan asked the question, and I'm not going to make this about me for too much here, but we'll go over. I wrote a list of things that I guess you can't see that's blown out, but from here you can. Can't read my writing though; it's written in code hand, which is my very messy handwriting style. But so let's see. Let's go back. I was hired February 9th, 2009. I had left a place that was we were selling jewelry over TV. It was sort of like a Home Shopping Network, but it was a twist. We did falling auctions. So we'd have 10 iPhones and we put them up for $500 and then we dropped the price to $150 and people see the price drop. So they buy them. And, I did that for a while. One thing there, it taught me about the breaking news aspect of news and how important breaking news is. We were one hour, every hour you'd sell something different. So 1 hour we were just selling emeralds and we were with this guy named Dan Dennis. And, at the end of that hour, we saw a news story that said the Tanzanite mine had flooded and we were selling a lot of Tanzanite. And actually Tanzanite was the next hour scheduled. And we handed him the story and the only mine where they get Tanzanite had flooded And he literally reads it that it flooded, 9 people died. They didn't know when operations were going to continue. And he literally looks up and he goes, folks, this changes everything. Coming up next hour, nothing but Tanzanite. And we were already selling it, but we actually had him pull bigger gemstones out. And people were buying these before we could even drop the price. So we'd have the initial price and then we'd drop it and then we'd drop it again. And so I was giving people great deals, but they were already buying. So we didn't have to go as low as we could have gone. And we sold a lot of Tanzanite, but that showed me the power of breaking news. And we weren't forcing people to buy this stuff. They were buying it because they thought, well, there might be a run on Tanzanite, sort of like, you know, what you see with Bitcoin or silver now, even, you know, people are buying silver thinking it's going to go up. There it is. From 2008, April 1st, 2008, 16 dead, 49 missing and flooded mine. See? Even from I said 9, it was 16. So then I got hired by InfoWars because I'd been listening to Alex Jones for a while. And one of the first videos I shot was like a interviewing the director of Obama deception. And I printed out some posters that we had of the Obama deception and put them on the wall to make it look like one of these promo type things. And then I set up some lights and everything. This is like the first thing I'd been there. I don't know, like maybe 4 or 5 days. And Alex was like, hey, I want to shoot a interview of the director and you're going to interview me. And I was off camera, but we had it set where Alex wasn't looking straight at the camera like he normally does like this. He was kind of off to the side, you know, sort of like this shot. And he's looking and answering questions about the Obama deception. And so we shot several promo type videos that we used to market, which I think was his biggest film, but Endgame is sort of kind of taken over that because of its evergreenness. Then later that year, I got arrested at the G20, September 29th. The reason that date is stuck in my mind is because it's also the date one of my good friends died. I was in a band with her. She was one of our singers. I'd known her for many years, and she died of cancer that same day that I got arrested. She died about 5 in the morning that day, and I got arrested later that night. Ended up getting a settlement from the city of Pittsburgh. Funny enough, my lawyer was Stuart Rhodes. We sued him in 2011, and Stuart was my attorney. And then I just wrote some other things. One time, Alex and I went to Jesse Ventura's birthday. There, Alex Jones Show reporter is furious over G20 arrest. Yeah, so we sued him in 2011, and then it all kind of came to an end later. Jesse Ventura, I forget, I think it might have been his 70th birthday. And there was another actor there, Harry Dean Stanton. It was his 90th birthday. So we were there, and I mean, there was all kind of people there. But at some point I'm sitting down at a table and I look over and there's this young lady, and sitting next to her is Ron Jeremy, who's like half awake. I mean, just weird stuff. Meeting Russell Means, going up to the reservation up there. I forget the name of the reservation. It's in South Dakota, but it's right near Wounded Knee. Went up there, interviewed him for about 3 hours. Then we drove out to Wounded Knee, and he talked about the massacre that happened, where this is a gun control anti-gun control argument, because they brought all the Indians into this valley, took all their guns. And then they said, oh, one of them fired a gun. So then the troops were all up with, they called them Hotchkiss guns, which were like kind of like 50 cals that you, I think, cranked. And so they just basically shot these people to pieces. There's actual video from that. And his message there was, we're all living on the reservation. Like, at first it was the Indians, but now we're all there. We're all being controlled. We're all being given things for free. And when you're given things for free, you're under control of the government. Very powerful message there. It was 7 degrees when we were there in the morning, and our camera batteries kept running out. And but that was pretty powerful. There's a 2-hour documentary out there that we put together called Welcome to the Reservation. And let's go. You know, we could jump to the first Trump inauguration. Was pretty crazy watching how the leftists were allowed to block access to people, just, you know, and be uncivil and attack people. And the police there were simply allowing it to happen. They're just like, yeah, it's fine. You know, you get to block the entrance into the inauguration so then they could show these videos and pictures of, oh, Trump had no one at his inauguration. No one was there voting for him. When actually it was a huge reformation against what Hillary Clinton was trying to pull over going from Obama to there. And then in 2020, you know, the People's Freedom March in the first, I think it was the week after the stolen election of 2020, we all went up there and were in Freedom Plaza and marching to the Capitol. See, there were two people's marches there. I don't know if they're called people's march, but freedom marches, anti-stolen election marches, one in November, one in December. And then in January, well, they had figured out that, oh, we figured out a way to get these people. And so they got us on the third one, which was creating the J6 insurrection in that narrative. But during the pandemic, you know, we had our I Can't Breathe protests, you know, because they were saying that with George Floyd. So we went and had our own because, you know, Austin was kind of different from the rest of the country, of the rest of Texas, where they were trying to do this lockdown. And we had videos that I think Owen Schroyer and Rob Agueros went out and were riding scooters late at night. We broke into the Barton Springs pool. Oh, you can't go to this pool of water where you should be out in the sunshine, killing the virus. So they tried to close down the pools. We broke it open and went in there for a bit and just went out and showed that, you know, you don't have to be locked down. And then we were also warning people about the vaccine. I actually put out in January 2020, I put out a report. I'm standing in front of the Capitol. I'm over by the Washington Monument, and I'm reading, and this is, they're still calling it the coronavirus. And I'm telling people about it and say, you know, this is the type of thing that they're going to kind of create a vaccine for. And be aware of this, because when they create these vaccines, well, it could have something like, you know, SV40 virus in it. And I play a clip of a doctor, Maurice Hinneman, talking about how he found the SV40 virus in the polio vaccine, and he was warning Salk about it. And they're like, oh, we're testing it on the Russians. Let's see how many tumors they get. And it turns out the SV40 virus does cause cancer. And, wow, I didn't know this at the time, but it turns out the SV40 virus was found in the coronavirus vaccine. And we know that from Patrick McKernan, who was working on the Human Genome Project, was testing unopened vials of the vaccine and finding the SV40 virus, which comes from green monkey kidney cells. So kind of fortuitous that I was telling people about that in January of 2020. Okay, I think January 20th of 2020. I don't know if it's on Bandout Video somewhere, but I think it's in the special reports section. I didn't even have a channel on Bandout Video back then. I was just putting stuff up on special reports. But some notable interviews that some long form interviews that we did, Rosalyn Peterson talking about the chemtrails, although she didn't say chemtrails, she says persistent atmospheric contrails is what she uses. That is even before that. See, that's 2025. There's a video of me in 2020 talking about the SV40 virus being put in vaccines. It turns out it was in the coronavirus vaccine as well. Sherry Tenpenny, she was really instrumental in giving me the courage and information not to get my children vaccinated. Big influence on my life, Sherry Tenpenny. Russell Blaylock, former neurosurgeon, talking about the effects of fluoride and other things in your body. Webster Tarpley, we don't really have him on much anymore, but he was an interesting, definitely a character, if there was one out there in the universe of InfoWars. Webster Tarpley, anti-Obama, anti-Bush, also anti-Trump. And, you know, he probably has his reasons, but he's also, you know, he seems to be like he's a communist. John Perkins, another interesting interview that we put on. He was the author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, wrote that. And lives in Florida, went over, had a great interview with him. Interestingly enough, there's a guy that doesn't work here anymore who left under weird circumstances, under his own volition. I forget if he quit or got fired. He might have got fired. But we both were shooting video of John Perkins, and he had a nice wide shot, but it was also shooting out the window. And for some reason, he left his camera on autofocus. And I had a close-up shot, like shot here of John's face. And we're looking at this footage that the other person had shot. And it was all blurry. Perkins was blurry. But out the window, the boat in the canal was perfectly in focus. And Alex goes, well, let's look at Dew's footage. And my footage was good and saved the whole interview. And that kind of, after that interview, it became, well, Rob Dew's going out on all the interview shots. So basically every long form interview we did after that, I was like one of the guys to go out with that. This is just a funny little tidbit that came to mind as I was writing this. We're at CPAC and we're shooting, I'm just following Alex around shooting footage. I think he had just interviewed Bolsonaro's son. And as he's going up the escalator, someone says, thank you for defending Nick Fuentes. And Alex said, yeah, no problem. And he turns to the camera as he's going up the escalator and goes, I identify as a groiper. And it's just the funniest thing. I think it just shows Alex's immense comedic timing, among other things. And then, just hiring people throughout the years, all the different people that have worked here. You've all had a part in InfoWars. Whether you're happy about that or not at this point is up to you, but you've definitely had a part in InfoWars being one of the premier independent news media organizations in the world. And so with all your help there, Bregan, that's my short list of things that I could just think of during the break. What did you think of that?
Rob, I forgot about all some of those, but the Russell Means welcome. Everyone should go to band.video and watch Welcome to the Reservation. And also Charlotte Iserby.
Forgot about Charlotte Iserby. That was another great. We interviewed her twice. I think I only went up the first time. I don't remember if I went up the second time or not, but the first time meeting her, we were cooking eggs in her kitchen, smoking cigars in between shoots. You know, she was a cool lady. She was really cool. Met her son, who was really cool, learning about her life. Yeah, there's the opening shots there. We shot that. It was kind of rainy and drizzly outside. And it's interesting. She lived in a part of Dresden, Maine, and on the river. And there was a island on that river, and she said that's where they planned some of the American Revolution. They would meet up on some of the on the land there on that little island. And you can imagine back then, you know, you had to get a rowboat and paddle over there, and there wasn't social media or signal to communicate with. You had to really know your stuff and get information out. So the stuff our forefathers went through to make this country is nothing. You know, we have nothing to complain about. We have it easy, especially now with AI. The guys are making images of Jerome Powell sitting on top of the Federal Reserve, you know, in a lazy river. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless. Now you're only limited by your imagination. But I'll give you the last word, Bregan, and then move on.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Your crew is freaking amazing because the ability for them to pull up video on the spot, Johnny on the spot. And I filmed for you folks at Bilderberg 2012.
Okay.
And I just want to thank you for your dedication and everyone who stuck through the thick and thin.
Yeah, I wasn't at Bilderberg 2012, but I did go to 2015 and 2016 in Austria and then in Dresden, Germany. And those were huge. Lauren Southern was still active back then. She was part of that. Luke Radowski has been to all these. Charlie, I forget his last name. It escapes me, but he's a Guardian writer who's there. He always makes the shirts that said, I went to Bilderberger whatever year, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt or this lousy New World Order, I think is what it said. I bought one in 2016 because I missed out. But, you know, the cops at that point were coming after us because we were filming the police. They searched our car. They let us go through the checkpoint. Then they pulled us over and were like going through all our belongings. So I started filming them and we put that up on YouTube and they didn't like that. So they were coming to where they thought I was staying in the hotel. See if y'all can find the guys, the Guardian writer who writes for, I forget his last name, but I want to give him a shout out. He's a good fellow, and he's a guy Alex Jones woke up about the New World Order because he used to write comedy pieces about Bilderberg, and then he went there and got harassed. Well, he got harassed at that one as well. They broke into his apartment room at midnight that night. They were looking for me, I think, but I was down in a little cabin off to the side of the main hotel. I'd say it's a hotel, probably had 20 rooms in it. But I got a call from the owner of the hotel, said, hey, the police are looking for you. And I called Alex. I said, hey, man, the police are looking for me. What do I do? He goes, we're going live, drive to the police station. And literally we're waiting for the break to end. I go in there during the show, streaming live. This is 2015. And it's funny. All the cops are out front. They're like, hey, you can't film here. I'm like, it's Charlie Skelton. I said, we're not filming. We're streaming. and we're going live. And the larger, it's interesting. There's definitely a caste system, whether they admit it or not, in Austria, because there's a lot of very small people there, which I guess can't afford a lot of meat. And then when the big sergeant came out, he was tall. He was like 6 feet, at least as tall as me. And he came out and he said, are you staying at this hotel? And I said, yes. He said, no more filming the police. And I said, all right, well, no more searching our belongings. And you know who we are. You have our pictures on the wall. You know we're not here to cause harm to anybody. We're here just to document, you know, elites meeting at a giant pyramid hotel in the middle of nowhere with a, you know, mile and a half cordon zone off of it. And we actually had to hike up another mountain and shoot video of the hotel. And we met a guy, Infokrieg, which means InfoWars in Germany. He had his telescope set up and he allowed us to hook our cameras up to it and shoot in. You could get some really amazing footage. There's Charlie Skelton in the UK at the time. You know, he's old and gray. And even back then, he's older and grayer now, but he goes to every Bilderberg. It's like a pilgrimage for him going out there. We haven't, I think, done as much because we've kind of exposed, you know, Alex's whole thing about Bilderberg was they're saying this thing doesn't exist. Here's this meeting. Here's these people. Here's all these elites going into it. We want to expose it. And then, you know, several years after that, they started publishing a list of who attended. They started publishing not quite everything they were talking about, but they put out a press release on where it's going to be, which they had not done before that. It was always secret. So Alex feels he had, you know, kind of done his job because people were like, why aren't you showing up at Bilderberg? Well, that's why, because we kind of done our job there. So thanks for the call, Bregan. Let's get another call in. Let's go to Alex in Northern Virginia. He's been holding for a while. Let's talk about it. He got into a shouting match at a protest at a Tesla dealership. Was this during the Tesla protests that were going on?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Duke.
Good morning.
Driving through Northern Virginia. It was off of, whoever's listening, if y'all know Northern Virginia, 395, off of Glebe Road. So there's a Tesla dealership over there. And from time to time, you'll catch these clowns out there, but there's not really many. It's like 3, 5, 7 at most. Except for Saturday. Saturday, there was a good 20, 30 people out on each side of the street. And I tagged you. I recorded the video while I was driving. And I hate recording while I'm driving, but I had to do it. And I tagged you on X for the video, and I tagged InfoWars on it. Basically called them a bunch of communists, and they started cheering, and I was saying that they're not American and not America first, and they were cheering. I'm like, you people are idiots. What's wrong with these morons? And I just kept on going. I was going to go for a second round, but nah, forget it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They start protesting the Tesla dealership as soon as Elon Musk has dinner with Trump again, and he kind of said, you know, he basically said he regretted doing the Doge thing. One, because I don't think he saw the administration take his findings and do anything with them, which they haven't done yet, and that's true. And two, he got all this negative press. His stock price dropped. People were, you know, burning his cars, things that he made. Whether you agree with the electric car or not, it's his, you know, kind of dream that he brought. He took it to the next level. He didn't actually invent the Tesla. He kind of took over the company and made it bigger. But, you know, they were destroying the dealerships, harassing the people. And that's not why he built the company. He didn't build the company as a vehicle for protests. He built the company because he believes in electric cars. And, you know, while we're not quite there on the batteries, there is some battery technology on the horizon that could make these things, you know, travel 1,000 miles under a charge and then charge in under an hour, which they can't do right now. You get about 300 miles off of them, maybe 400 if you have the big batteries on the Tesla truck. So Yeah. Well, thanks for going out there and speaking the truth to these people. They are a bunch of communists because they don't want to see things get built by corporations. They want to see things built by the government. They're all happy when the government's doing something. Unless, well, you know, notice though, if the GOP gets into power, they're automatically fascist no matter what. But, you know, we got bumbling Biden in there who can't put a sentence together. And well, that's okay. We don't see that. You know, we're fine with that. So there it is. Thanks for the call, Alex. Let's go to who's next. Mark in Texas. We funded Mal, so who are we serving? Well, the Rockefellers did fund Mal, but go ahead, Mark. What's your point?
Well, that's the whole point. So who went to China?
Nixon did.
Yeah, he did. And why did he do it?
To open up trade routes with China.
That's right. So yeah. That Congress could go invest in there, basically, and pull their money out of there while we sent it to them. By the way, where do we get our paper for our Federal Reserve notes?
I'm sure we get it from China. They probably grow
Communist
a lot of things.
China. Yeah. Yeah. So the point is that...
when we have all the space to do it here, but we just don't. Yeah, you're right.
Well, yeah, and that's my point. So the problem with all this stuff is that we know them by their fruits. And we've met the enemy, and they is we, according to Pogo, if you ever read that. But my point is that the fruits of what are going on right now is the thing we're all basically commiserating and whining about, and that is no justice or righteousness is getting done. Correct?
Correct. I'm with you.
Yeah. So my last question is then, for all the monumental impact of stuff that you've experienced over the years, what about your... brother-in-law in the Boston bombing.
Oh, you know, somebody asked me about that. So when I, they asked me about that on camera many years, a couple years later, but it was at some place there, stuck a phone in my face and asked me about it. But my brother-in-law, he was, I went in when the Boston bombing happened, there was a lot going on. And I got a call from my wife saying, that my brother-in-law was running in the Boston bombing, meaning he was an actual runner for the Army in the Boston Marathon, not the bombing itself, but he was running it. He was running in it. So he had, but he did get pulled out for dehydration before he got to the finish line. And, you know, was he dehydrated? I don't know. But somebody did pull him out of the race before it ended. That's interesting, isn't it? But that's all the information I have. But I hope that answered your question, Mark. Thanks for calling.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones. And they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Thank you.
segment here, and then we got a couple long ones left here for the rest of the third hour of the American Journal. Coming up next will be Alex Jones from 11 to 3, and then the War Room with Harrison Smith. Harrison also, I think, did the Sunday show. Alex took a well-needed little break. But I want to get to these two clips right now, finishing up with the fraud that's going on. This is citizen journalist David Kite. Going around just looking at the voter rolls and then going to the addresses these people put on. Oh, he's doxing these people. Whoa, he's doxing abandoned buildings. Here it is.
He's registered to vote for him here, but we came here to show people that just a couple houses down from 929 is 955, and that was the condition of the home where people were registered to vote from.
The very first thing I did when I got home after this trip was look up 955 Proctor Street Southwest on my voter list that I literally got January 3rd from the Secretary of State's office. And what do you know? I highlighted and then, of course, I marked out the name there of the person that is registered to vote at the place that you're looking at.
It's common sense for elected officials to see a place like this and say, okay, people aren't obviously living here. Yes. No reason for people to register to vote from them.
Right.
You complain to city officials about this. They tried, not they specifically, but the system tries to intimidate you, try to push you away from doing this.
Right.
And then we spoke a little bit about how, what is the incentive behind this? Maybe it's to make sure that there's more people in a precinct so the county gets even more money to run their elections.
Sure.
What is your solution to this? Because this is just ridiculous that anybody can see this and say, why are people registered to vote from a place that's obviously torn down? Says
this
no
is obviously a daycare center.
24 hours.
I don't know why.
I mean, it's not that complicated. If any, most people have moved around in their lives. Whenever you move, for example, the magazine folks, the junk mail folks, they know where you live. I don't care how many times you move. There are systems in place to find people. And maybe 10 years ago, this was a beautiful house and somebody did live here. Well, they have moved. They have died. They are somewhere else.
Now it's a
find
small
where they
here.
Live. Register them there because we want everybody to vote. We want them to vote legally where they actually live. So if you care about the voters, in my opinion, you need to find the voters when they move, re-register them there, and don't leave them lingering here, where they clearly do not live today.
I think that's a key thing, is that we're not really trying to expose this so people aren't able to vote. We want everyone that's legally able to vote to actually be able to vote.
The audio cut out? Okay. I guess the audio died. Okay, that was it. Yeah, interesting. Some of these clips just cut off. But that's David Kite, just citizen journalist, looking at getting the information and then driving to the place and looking at it. Same thing that we saw with Nick Shirley. There's the Nick Shirley video has created thousands of Nick Shirleys, which is what we need because the press isn't doing their job. You notice they weren't ever. I think those stories in Minnesota have been around since like 2015 and no one done anything about them. Here's Benny Johnson on Fox News talking about the investigation going on in California with Gavin Newsom. So here it is.
I know you're getting to the bottom of this because it angers him and it angers his staff. They are furious with you and you're going there to confront this.
Yes, they're furious because it's indefensible what they've done in the Palisades as well. And the most important thing to do there is just like what was done by Nick Shirley in Minneapolis, is simply go and turn on the camera. It's self-evident. Have there been any homes built?
No.
Gavin Newsom promised to rebuild the homes. Gavin Newsom promised that these people who lost 7,000 homes approximately in the Palisades had their lives destroyed, had their family memories torched to ashes.
Right.
Most people in America know somebody who's been affected by these fires, that he would cut the red tape, that he would cut the penalties, cut the fees, and that they'd get to rebuilding. Has there been a single shovel overturned in the Palisades? And again, you can just go there and turn on the cameras. If you turn on the cameras and knock on a Somali daycare and ask, can I enroll my child, you'll be met with screaming and someone calling the cops and a door slammed in your face. If you go to California and turn on the cameras and just film the streets of downtown LA or San Francisco or any city, you will see the egregious homeless problem. They spent $24 billion. No homes have been built and no homeless people have been saved.
So
there you go. And all that money's going somewhere. So you can see the non-existent homeless programs, $24 billion, high-speed drill, $18 billion, stolen COVID relief funds, $32 billion, SNAP fraud, $2 billion, and I think two homes have been built.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioperin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
There he is, the man with the money, Jerome Powell, and his newly... Oh, there's Ron Paul kicking him in the face. That's what we want to see. Ron Paul, head of the Federal Reserve. I mean, can you imagine? It's all a joke anyway.
Oh, that's not serious.
Why not? Let's put Ron Paul in charge, see what happens. Let's just see what happens. Who cares? What could it hurt? Let's jump to the UK for a little bit. Starmer's looking for an excuse to ban X. In Austria, there's an article on InfoWars. Aliens force victim to kiss their feet and then they break his nose. That's in Austria. Berlin blackout. Deadly Antifa terrorism plunges frigid German capital into darkness for days. I remember a couple years ago, the power was out of control. You know, they had these high power prices. They were actually doing things where they would bring people in to dance to stay warm. We dance for warmth is what they would say. They were dancing for warmth. But let's go to this. This is a propaganda tool that they're showing to students. It's a little animation they've put together to make students be afraid to speak out against immigration. Cause, you know, we can't be speaking out against bringing millions of people into your country and then supporting them under your tax dollars while they not allowed to get jobs or they don't get jobs and they create grooming gangs and other sorts of illegal activity. And if you speak out against it, well, you're arrested. So, InfoWars article, Keir Starmer has signaled he is prepared to back regulatory action that could ultimately result in X being blocked in the UK. So he says, because the AI chatbot Grok has been generating images of women and minors in bikinis, he'll support, go as far as hitting the kill switch, blocking the entire system. So now putting people in a bikini is against the law. But I think people are saying put a bikini on that. You can read more about it at InfoWars, and here is clip 16 talking about the propaganda animation they're putting together for the kids in the schools in the UK. Here it is.
Because the British government seems desperate to put white British kids on the terrorist prevent program. I've got full access to their latest propaganda tool that is being rolled out to your children, you and your grandchildren as well, to which appears to be aimed at ensuring they don't become patriotic or question immigration. It's one of the most shocking things I've honestly seen for a while. And rather than tell you about it, I'm going to play it with you right now. Okay, let's go to question number one, please. So what you'll see here is that Charlie, he's our lovely
Charlie
character here.
Bit me.
He's receiving an important grade on his piece of work. Can we go to the next one here, next slide? He hasn't done as well. We'll keep going along here a little bit, please. He's got put in a lot of effort, he says. He's put in a lot of effort, like I did at university. Charlie's taking a seat in his class, keep on going. And he's going to get to a point here. Well, he didn't get as well as he expected, all right? He got 60 out of 100 on his results. Next, you'll see that he's a little bit upset about it. And to make matters worse, it looks like somebody of colour got a slightly better result than him, right? And that means this person has allegedly received a job offer. Next, please. And what happens there? Charlie's applied to dozens of jobs, but he hasn't had any luck yet. Okay, next. Right, somebody else in the class tells Charlie that this is proof that immigrants are coming to the UK and taking our jobs, right? Sort of, kind of, we can make the argument that the data does show that cheap labour is undercutting the workforce in Britain. Okay, next. What happens here? Right, how should Charlie react? Should he ignore the comment and ask the course leader for feedback about how he can improve? Should he ignore the comment but don't address his frustration? Just pent it up, Charlie. That's what you should do. Should he agree with the comment and explore the idea further? Now, I'm going to do everything they don't want you to do on this quiz. Let's click C, shall we? And then next, there we go.
Jail.
Right, oh dear, that's certain. You see that little bar there? That's gone down. You're in terrorist category there, aren't you? Charlie approached the classmate angrily. He agreed with the ideas and began shouting about them in class. How dare you use your voice, Charlie? How dare you use your democratic right of free speech? Next. The teacher let Charlie know the school has a zero tolerance
Listen,
on hate
white
speech.
Man.
Is it hate speech to say that immigrants are coming into Britain stealing people's jobs? I don't know. All right, next. The teacher was concerned by Charlie's outburst and tried to get to the bottom of it. There we go. Okay, next slide. Charlie became more agitated and ended up having to sit alone, so they isolated him.
Wow.
Right? Doesn't sound like a really good way to address sort of, you know, a problematic young man. And became more agitated sitting alone during the week's lessons because of the hurtful things he said. This is what supposedly what's going on in schools. All right, next. Now let's go to number three, shall we? We can't unlock the others yet. We must get through the rest of the program. Right, Charlie's been chilling out all afternoon, as you do. Next. Right? He's been on social media. Uh-oh. You might want to ban that. Next. He spots... Oh, Charlie's a they, by the way. Just so you know. They haven't said he. They say they. Just putting that out there. Right, next. He's getting a lot of attention. Right, there's a video he's seen. Got a lot of attention. Charlie's watching a video and learns from the video that Muslim men are stealing the places of British war veterans in emergency accommodation. Bad. Obviously so bad. Is it true, though? Is it true? Is that actually happening in Britain? Well, you can have a look online for yourselves. Next. In the video, they explain that the government is betraying white British citizens and need to take back control of their country. Does this all sound familiar to you? Next. Right, how should Charlie react? Should he just scroll past the content and ignore the message? Should he find out more about the topic online? Or should he engage directly with this post? It seems fair. It seems unfair. We should click C. Oh, we're going to do everything they tell us
engage.
Not to do.
Engage.
By the way, we do know that there are lots of places where British people are at the back of the queue because of illegal migrants. You've got council houses being built, brand new council houses being built because of this, right? Charlie couldn't believe what they were seeing. Next. Charlie immediately began typing and putting in comments. Right, let's go to the next slide. Let's get there. So he's getting involved in it. As for the likes, comments came in. He's getting lots and lots of enthusiasm here by standing up for veterans and white people's rights. Bad. Next. Unfortunately, Charlie didn't realise, how would he know, that some of the groups he was engaging with are illegal.
Oh, no.
How would he
illegal
know?
Illegal thought
next.
Criminals. All right, well, that's
bad,
good.
Charlie.
You get the idea. You have to pick the right answer to get your credit score to go up, or otherwise you're going to be in the terror watch list. So that's just training these kids. Don't speak up. Don't say anything. Because if you don't say anything, then the government thinks, oh, well, this is a mandate from the people because they're not saying anything. So we're good to go. So very interesting what's going on. Remember that it was the same type of shitty animation that we saw with, Run DMC and take the vaccine. See if y'all can pull that up. It's like the same animators. It's like government mouthpiece animators. Here they are. You know, make your take the vaccine, Run DMC video. As I'm watching that, I'm like, and in fact, I think the American version was a little bit better. Yeah, look, same type of animation. You know? Yeah. Put your mask on or Run DMC. My Adidas. Take all the vaccines and roll all over the magazines. All right. Let's go back to some calls. We got Oilfield Misfit in New Mexico wants to know how Tim Walz is walking free. I have the same question. Will he ever get indicted? You want to place a bet on it? What do you think?
I'm not going to place a bet. Rob, love you. Longtime listener. Take all the supplements. Just wanted to tell you. Until we get these locals lined out, sheriffs, any kind of a local law enforcement to do their jobs and to actually hold people accountable in their areas, nothing's going to change. Wanted to tell you, too, don't take the vaccines, people. Be smart. If you got grandkids, kids, nieces, nephews, just drop links to the parents. Let them know how dangerous it is. And eat healthy. Take care of yourselves and get engaged. Get engaged at your local levels. Whatever it takes. I'm not a big politician guy, but I will get down and do some door knocking and whatever I can for good people. We need good people running for local offices. That's all I got, Rob. Love you.
Yeah, thanks. We definitely need good people running for office. We need good people supporting those people, and we need to hold these politicians accountable. I just had a missed call from Alex Jones. Can somebody call him and see what he needs? And if not, I will. If he calls again, I'm taking the call on air. So we'll see what happens. It could be interesting. He's probably looking for a video. Thanks for the call, Oilfield Misfit. Let's go to Angelina in South Texas. Wants to talk about Greenland, infrared radio, and messing with the geomagnetic field. Go ahead, Angelina.
Oh, it's so good to talk with you again. I've been out of the loop for about a year because I'm combating a particularly deadly medical condition. But anyway, I would be watching the storms form on the long infrared on the pool desk with the NASA Sport Viewer and the Japanese Himawari. And I noticed that the clouds would start forming boxes, and there's particular cloud formations that are that are tied specifically to earthquakes and possible other dew strikes, DEW, because
directed energy weapons. People don't. It's not my name, but it's just the initials.
And the whole consistent pattern is that they come in two half clouds from opposite sides of the Earth, wherever they're coming from. They are originating from accelerator sites. They're moving in at a very fast rate of speed, 150, 200 miles an hour. They latch on, they light up, and boom, you have an earthquake or some kind of explosion. And the earthquake, it was a very consistent observation on satellite and from seismic data. And it was happening every time when we have these particular strikes, especially the very strong ones off of that Russian peninsula. But I've been out of the loop, but the one that's really tying everything together is called, he calls himself the Alaska Sky Watcher. He has a Facebook page, and I think he has a YouTube and a number of video accounts, and he is very highly educated. His name is Edward Abbott. You should get him on the show because he also synthesizes a Schumann resonance, and he's highly educated. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He does a very good job at making regular people like us understand these very complex concepts. And the day after Charlie Kirk died, after he was assassinated, something very shocking happened that got his attention. And if I can put it in simple terms, the Earth's magnetic shield basically went negative, and something was happening underground, I guess, with this accelerators, and they were making big shocks deep into the earth. And I was picking that up with my seismic thing, but he was explaining that this pulled in the magnetic shield, and this is a very good person to try to get on. Again, he's well educated in all of the sciences that are involved with this. And he is putting out warning signs like, you know, keep watching. Come on, Sky Watchers, keep watching. But this is my big problem with the magnetic field, because I've been seeing it on the size monitors. And here's the deal. We have a large asteroid coming in less than 5 years and making another round. And from what I'm seeing...
Is this asteroid hitting the Earth, or is it just going to pass by?
Well, they're saying it's going to pass by, but it's going to be closer between here and the moon. But the way that they're doing with this magnetic shield, when they did that little experiment, I started seeing on my feed that there's all these meteorites hitting the Earth. And so basically when they do this thing to the magnetic shield, I think this is an exercise to pull in that asteroid, not repel it.
And yeah, that was probably foretold in the intro to, and I'm not making fun of what you're saying, but it just shows you that they do this stuff. And there's a cartoon called Thundar the Barbarian, and a comet goes in between the Earth and the moon and takes away the Earth's magnetic field and atmosphere. And it shows, you know, horrible events happening, and kind of it turns us into a post-apocalyptic scenario, which could happen. I mean, obviously they thought about that back in the early 80s. That's when this cartoon came out.
And
you could see, but going back to like the stuff you're saying, you could see these radar pulses going on all over our country. You could see, warm water events happening and like ray, or I don't know if they're rays, but it's stuff on these satellites or imagery on these satellites. And you could see like warm water areas being created in like the Arctic Ocean, kind of in the middle of nowhere where there shouldn't be warm water. There's weird stuff going on everywhere. We know we have the antenna array in Alaska called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. Yeah, look, there you can see that. And are these things guiding the storms? I think they are. I think a lot of this stuff is being manipulated for effect, and they're able to come in and say, oh, we're going to have these storms here, and then you see a bunch of chemtrailing and cloud seeding going on, and then all of a sudden, yeah, there are giant storms. We've had the father of weather weapons on talking about how they used to do this in Vietnam. So this isn't new technology. This is old technology.
Yeah, and what I'm talking about, these are actually square right-angle boxes.
Yeah, in the cloud. You're talking about in the clouds, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and Hurricane Helene is in this box, and they move, they get the box position, and they move it right up. And I was following this, all of these things, like you say, these little radar glitches, like these circles. If you go to the map and you go to the nearest size monitor, you're going to see that it is the center of an earthquake. But anyway, you can see all of the steerings, especially the infrared. You can see it on the NASA Sport Viewer on the infrared, but you have much better detail with the Himawari.
Yeah, we just pulled up a piece too from Wikipedia about tectonic weapons. So all this stuff is admitted. Now, they don't talk about it every day. It's not like the Minnesota ice raids that are going on, because, you know, that's something we can all have. It's a football issue that we can throw. But they don't want you knowing that they have earthquake weapons. And there's always earthquakes in the, you know, Syria got hit with a lot of earthquakes around the time there was a lot of conflict going on there. So, yeah, everything you're saying is true. It's hard to put a handle on it, and we can't get the governments of the world to admit it. Because I think these are even groups that are above the government at this point, and they're not going to spill the beans on that. So thank you for calling and bringing that information out to people. It's stuff people should look into. We got people looking at it, and follow the guy she was mentioning and check out his information. Now we had the raid in, some call it an extraction, in Venezuela. And a guy, the account is ANTTSINC. On X, and he's putting out information. He's talking to troops on the ground, talking about the type of weapons that the U.S. government is in control of. This went on the Jonathan Rose account, but he grabbed it from ANTTSINC. And I want to give this guy credit, because he's putting out some pretty interesting information, and he's not quite getting, I think, the credit he deserves. But let's just listen to what he has to say in this first video about what type of weaponry the United States now possesses.
A security guard that was protecting Maduro has spoken, and you got to hear what he's said. It's in Spanish, but I'll translate. Also, Trump announced that, you know, the cartels, they're going after him in Mexico. The whole vibe of Latin America has changed because of what happened in Venezuela. And now that we're getting firsthand accounts from people that were there, the soldier says they didn't hear him coming. He says the Americans had technology superior to anything they've ever seen. Everything that they were using for radar, for anything, was completely taken offline. They had drones, and the drones were taking out bases and taking out things faster. They have no technology. They've never had to fight against drones. He also talks about that there was only 8 helicopters. There was only 20 men that were sent in. And those 20 men killed hundreds of their men. And none of those soldiers were injured. He talks about it felt like they were firing 300 rounds a minute. Nothing they've ever seen. Nothing that they can compete with. And then he also talks to the fact that the Americans had some kind of sonic shock boom that was sent out, and everybody immediately started bleeding profusely out of their nose. They couldn't even gather themselves because whatever was sent at them made them fall to their knees and vomit blood out of their mouth and out of their noses. They were incapacitated immediately. He says he never wants to fear, never wants to go through that again. Doesn't want to have to fight with the Americans again. He's sending warnings to everybody out there that you think you can fight the Americans. You don't even know what their weaponry is like and what they're capable of. 20 men took out hundreds, and that's starting to spread all through Latin America. And now they're not saying, if you want me, come and get me anymore. They're like, oh, shit, especially after Trump says, hey, Mexico, you're on the list, too.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, look, I guess I'm riding a sonic weapon now, too. AI can do amazing things. Let's go to the next part two of this, and it was the tactics of the American military in Venezuela. This will take us to the break from the account ANTTSINC on X. Here it is.
We have an update to the conversation from the Venezuelan soldier that we brought up yesterday. He talks about the initial group of soldiers that were taken out were Maduro's security force that was comprised of some Cubans and some Venezuelans. He said all the Cubans were taken out right to the dome. He talks about all of the air defense systems that were knocked out by Tomahawks with intense explosions. In one instance, it knocked that system into the ocean. It landed on a boat and killed 5 patrolmen. He talks about 4 F-16s that were taken out. There was 4 civilians that were unalived. He talks about one woman that was standing in the front of the naval base. They took out all the bases and all the air defense systems. That woman was knocked 5 meters into a house. That's how intense that explosion. This is going to be super interesting. You're going to find this to be interesting. He switches and does a 180 and says, hey, listen, we shouldn't have a problem being the 51st state of the United States. He says the amount of investment that's coming into the infrastructure, into the educational system, into the hospitals, and into the oil facilities are going to do amazing things for this country. He says that he's had the opportunity
We'll cut it right there as we go to break. I think that's the deal that's been made. The deal is made with Maduro. They're bringing him in. He's being treated, you know, he's in prison, but he's being treated nice. He's not being treated like an enemy combatant. And I think the deal has been made not necessarily to make him a 51st state, but to get the oil infrastructure that we had invested in back starting in the, you know, the 60s and 70s that they then stole from us when Chavez got into power, when they nationalized those industries. And now we're going back and getting it. It's that heavy crude that we can produce and process down in the Gulf states. So it's a win-win for us. And I think they did it without too many casualties. Am I for regime change? No, but let's hope the Venezuelans want to work with us. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing, she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murdering scum that run giant death factories, keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and run around screaming, we love Satan. We wanna eat babies. I have a one video. He's into 3 feet with six stuff, man. Hashtag spirit cooking, spirit cooking. Hashtag spirit cooking, spirit cooking. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weirdo woman whose mother wears a hood over her head. What the hell? That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she felt, man. Obama and Hillary both smell like salt. Vampire pop belly goblins are hobbling around coming after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. Ah, ah, ah. 6-0 center crap. We don't even notice hell itself rising up against us. Millions are pouring in. People of the very worst type and I'm so pissed. We're gonna
her at the mall. I was gonna step your wife and your son. Ooh. Gonna stab you with a butcher knife. And then the police chief is
here
gonna
is,
say,
baby.
We love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so sweet. We love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so sweet.
We were talking about possible 51st states with our last video there of Venezuela possibly becoming a 51st state, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think Alberta is going to be a 51st state. And then we talked about Puerto Rico. I said the only thing good about Puerto Rico is Ruben Obed El Major is bringing us back in from break. He was one of the, he entered the contest that we had a long time ago when they tried to make this song. Oh, we're going to get Alex Jones. We're going to make a song making fun of him about the Somalis. And where are we today? Yeah. Final segment of the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. You can watch this and all the shows at InfoWars on X, also at Real Alex Jones. You could also go to InfoWars.com/show or band.video. We have all the streams everywhere in case one goes down. And as someone pointed out today, we also have the Ron Gibson armada of channels out there streaming and making sure everything's still going. But everything that finances that, all the things I just talked about are all financed when you go and support us at thealexjonesstore.com. And right now, we have a limited edition, Life is Fiery with its Beauty trench knife. We've sold out of all the other trench knives. This one's 50% off right now for a limited time. It's a trench knife dagger. It's got the skull crusher on the handle. It's got the brass knuckles, hilt. And on one side, it's got a little pinup girl. And then on the other side, I think it's Alex Jones' signature. And it's razor sharp. We had some of these here. I don't have one here with me, but they're really cool. Alex loves pulling it out. He was demonstrating with Kyle Rittenhouse last week. If I come at you with a dagger, then I'm at fault and you can shoot me, right? I don't have to stab you first. I can just come at you with the dagger and you have the right to shoot me. And they were going over the rules of engagement on that. So the pinup on one side and the legendary quote on the other side, life is fiery with its beauty. So it's 13 and a half inches in total length, 17 ounces in weight. Perfectly balanced as all things should be, according to Thanos. And 50% off for a limited time while supplies last. And if you're a VIP member, I think you get it even cheaper. Look at that, $79. Is that what they had on there? $79.99. So there's Alex's signature with the life is fiery with its beauty. That comes from the Justin Bieber rant. From like 2012 or something. That rant's so old and it still rings true to this day. Also, every purchase of the AlexJonesStore.com gets you 50 times entries to, with our crossover giveaway, either win the Ford Raptor plus $10,000 or the Ford F-250 diesel and $10,000 in cash. So each one of those, you get $10,000 in cash and the truck. So there, today, it's the final week to enter and get entered into both. So don't miss out, thealexjonesstore.com. It's the reason we're on the air today, and it's the reason we're still on the air is from support from you. People love these daggers. They love the knives we offer. They're high quality. They're pretty badass looking. You know, actually, I would say that's those pretty badass knives. And that's a, you know, a defensive weapon. If you're attacked, a knife never runs out of bullets, as Alex likes to say. I want to go to this last Antsic video, A-N-T-T-S-I-C, over on X, giving us the lowdown from guards in Venezuela. So here's an update. He had a WhatsApp conversation, and he basically said that there's so much infrastructure being rolled out, it's unbelievable. So this is what they're saying is there's been more done in the last 7 days than the last 26 years. A 1 minute, this is clip 20. Here it is.
Trump did more for Venezuela in 7 days than Maduro did in 26 years is what most of the Venezuelan people are saying. We are now hearing that there's conversations for Walmart, Costco, Target to open up in Venezuela. We're hearing Amazon delivery, UPS, FedEx. it's not just that they're going to get American corporations moving in. It's going to bring jobs. It's going to bring decent paying jobs to these people. There's, for those who are arguing the opposite point, it's just time to tune those people out. Trump announced a $100 million investment into the oil infrastructure in Venezuela. I will note that there is a left-leaning power government in Venezuela who's still trying to fight back, but really, what are they going to do? In the end of the day, that will be handled.
And we have posted at the Wall Street Journal, the speed obsessed Texas wildcatter in pole position for Venezuela in Venezuela's energy riches. Texas oil man Rod Lewis made millions drilling in places even other wildcatters find too dangerous. But when he flew to Venezuela, he encountered an opportunity that was as treacherous and as possibly as profitable as in any in the world. Yeah, Venezuela's sitting on more oil, larger than Texas, than we have in the United States. Probably on par with Alberta. And it's interesting, Alberta is the other territory that's sick and tired of the government regulation and the theft. They make a lot of money in Alberta that's just siphoned away from there to go to the poorer parts of Canada. We had a guy call in saying, yeah, the other provinces will like waste money. So it looks like they have no money so they could get that free money coming from Alberta. So they're looking at possibly voting on a referendum by the end of this year, which they would become an independent country. And people are calling it the Dubai of the North. So who knows? It could happen. Let's go to Julia in Ohio. Sorry for keeping you on hold so long, but let's talk about the Somali fraud in Ohio. Go ahead, Julia.
Hi, Rob. Nice to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks to everyone there for all you do. What's going on in Ohio, I just wanted to kind of spotlight it because I kind of feel like it doesn't get talked about enough because we are generally a red state, but there is fraud here. And it's not only the Somalian fraud, but I feel like it's the H-1B fraud too. And we have an Ohio GOP chairman who endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy. The Ohio GOP has never endorsed any Republican candidate for governor in Ohio as early and as quickly as they did with Vivek. It's pretty unprecedented here.
And he seems to be pro H-1B. Am I correct in saying that?
Vivek? Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He kind of, he's had a lot of controversial comments, obviously, from things that he said that he's tried to walk back and, but he's not ever said that he would end the H-1B visas here in Ohio because he's pro-H-1B.
Yeah. Let me jump in real quick. I'll let you finish. But those are taking jobs like these kind of middle-class income jobs that would go to people who live in the area already. No, instead they're moving people in, mainly Indians. But there's other groups that are taking advantage of this H-1B program. And these guys come in, they're men, young men. They come in, they could fit. They don't mind fitting 6 or 7 or 8 people in an apartment, maybe even 10 in a 2-bedroom apartment. Because, you know, they come in, they don't buy furniture. They just come in and work and take that money and usually send it back to their families. They send a lot of it back. And Scott Bessent was on saying, hey, we're going to set up the system where if you're getting any type of assistance, you can't send that money back overseas. I think put that to H-1B people. I think that'll get rid of a lot of the incentive to come in. Cause now you can't send any money back. You have to keep it here in the United States, but go ahead, Julie. I'll let you finish up.
Yes, correct. The Ohio GOP chairman, very interestingly enough, is an immigration lawyer. So I don't know that a lot of people in Ohio know that.
No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, and, which makes, kind of makes perfect sense that he would endorse Vivek and the party would endorse Vivek so early. Also, our governor, current governor, his wife is involved in some organization that helps immigrants from Haiti come here to Ohio. So we have Haitians. We have the H-1B visa holders. We have the Somalians. And we are a red state. Yeah. So I really appreciated Harrison a couple of weeks ago when he had on Casey Kutch, who is the Republican candidate that is running against Vivek in the primary. I so appreciated Harrison and you guys having him on, because I think everyone in Ohio needs to get out in the primary and vote for Casey, because we just cannot have this continue in our state. That's really what I wanted to say.
And yeah, who is Vivek running? Ohio who's running against Vivek real quick? Casey, what was the last name?
Casey Kutch, P-U-T-S-C-H.
Okay.
Harrison had him on the War Room just a couple of weeks ago. It was a great interview.
Yep. I just wanted you to say it, because we need, yes, we need these primaries to be battlegrounds. The primaries need to be battlegrounds, because you're not getting yes, a candidate on one side or the other. But, you know, let's just go. This is what Trump said about what's going on in Ohio, just during the debates. Here it is.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
Yeah. And Kamala thought it was funny. She thinks that kind of stuff is funny, but literally, right after that happened, there was a lady getting arrested who was eating a cat. She had eaten the neighbor's cat, and they were putting her under arrest. So, I don't know. You can't fight with that. All right, let's go to Evan in North Dakota. Frustration with the status quo. Oh, yeah, there's the cat. Poor kitty. There it is. Oh, go ahead, Evan.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Been listening since about 2010, but this is the first time I've ever called in. The reason I called is I just can't help but feel like the enemy is winning much more than we are. There have been no meaningful arrests from the DOJ. I think Pam Bondi is a freaking joke. She needs to go. We got obstructionist justice or obstructionist judges blocking everything Trump tries to do. And I thought the Supreme Court ruled that they couldn't do that anymore, but it seems like they still are. All this fraud BS in Minneapolis, Minnesota going on, and they're trying to use this Lesbo's death to distract us from it. Mass resistance to ICE everywhere, making it almost impossible for them to get rid of these people. And most conservatives are at work all day. When and how are we supposed to make our voices heard? These libtards are out protesting everything Trump does, and we're slaving away to pay for our own replacement. It's hard to not be blackpilled these days, and I was just wondering what you think we can do about it.
Well, I think what you have to do about it is look at your neighborhood, look at your neighbors, and look at your community and start there. That's really all you can do, because, you know, you may be able to influence a representative race, but you could start and I think make more effect. And you'd be surprised at the number of allies you have once you start speaking out. But get on these platforms like Nextdoor and stuff like that and talk about what's going on at the school board, at the city council, and then build out to the county commissioners. Those are the places where you can make the most meaningful impact. And just, I'll share you a quick little story. I protest my property taxes every year. I've had to go in twice to defend it in person. The first time I went in, and it was a man and two elderly women, and of course they voted to increase the price of my house way more than what I paid for it. And to increase my property tax. 2 years later, I go in. That guy's still there who voted in favor of me. And there was two other gentlemen who were in there, but the old ladies were gone. And guess what? The price of my house stayed the same. It didn't go up. And I got a big decrease from the year before. So, and it was under what I paid for the house, which I think is closer to its true value. So these changes are happening. They don't happen fast enough. They don't happen as fast in social media, but you have to be patient and really work in your own area. As they say, think globally, but act locally. And when I say think nationally, but act locally. Look at the problems that are going on in our nation. How can you fix them in your local level and hold these people accountable and get in their face and ask questions? And there's always people out there that can do things if you work together. The problem is most conservatives aren't used to working together. whereas the leftists love to work together. They love to consolidate power. So you are fighting an uphill battle, or you're fighting in the sand. It's hard to get traction. But all I can say is you can't stop. If you stop, then they win. So thank you for your call, Evan. I agree with you. And you're up in North Dakota, which is a very red state, and you're feeling the same way people are feeling down in Texas. So your mood is definitely nationwide, and that's what we need to do. Let's go to Joe in Florida. Wants to talk about the H-1B fraud nationwide. Go ahead, Joe.
No problem. A previous caller mentioned this about the issue in Ohio, but I want to explain exactly how the H-1B is really working and the dangers behind it. And I've never heard this shared. And before going into it, Vivek, now that his name was mentioned, is for sure familiar with this pattern. H-1B is deeper than an immigration issue. Having worked for one of those Indian large tech firms, developing strong relationships with, you know, the employees, it's not just abuse of H-1Bs, it's legitimate fraud. This fraud happens in two ways. American employees are asked to change their reporting structure, which at first, you know, hey, you want me to change who my boss is on paper? Okay, maybe there's some change in the system. But it became clear after three, four, or five times of being doing that, and it's always tied to someone who needs a visa renewal, that it's kind of seeming they're trying to game the immigration system because they cannot bring over people unless they have Americans associated with that visa, because they just can't displace American, you know, employees. So that's one issue. Then the second is, you know, these big firms cheat the H-1B system by not directly hiring the H-1B college students. These large firms go through intermediary smaller firms, where the smaller firm hires the H-1B and then on paper, they can go to the larger firms and say, hey, I have all this talent. But the thing is, these smaller firms are just trying to boost their books, and these people aren't really skilled. That's why they can't get hired by these larger firms. And then on paper, the larger firm can say, oh, you have this person, they're qualified. I didn't qualify them, so they don't have liability if an issue happens. They can go to the contracts and say, oh, we're going to fix this problem. You know, I've been personally involved and seen this, and by the grace of God, once it became too much, I was offered another job. But what is worse is, are these companies underpay even American employees, and the H-1Bs make even less than the underpaid American employees. And then a couple other details I wanted to mention. These firms have no real intention of building up the American workforce. They just use Americans to justify the people they want to bring over, and they promote and boost those people. And they don't really wait for the Americans to, you know, they just assume that they're eventually going to quit. And that's kind of what I feel like they want.
Sure. And they're training, and they make the Americans train their replacements. So they're bringing in people who are really unqualified, and they make them train them to work the way they want them to. And then they're like, oh, now we can get 3 for 1, and these guys don't complain, because if you complain, well, you know, you might lose your H-1B status. So it's fraud. I agree. Fraud nationwide with this H-1B. It's the way it's going. Now, I'll give you a little bit of bright side, and this is from the, I think it's the Prometheus Project, talking about Trump going to Davos. And I think these changes, here's the problem. These changes are slow. It's like turning a giant boat. It's not going to happen overnight. You have to have a little patience. But I think we are going in the right direction when it comes to how we're building the country back from the ground up. I think it's going to take some patience, but we're going to end with this clip. This is some LaRussian people talking about Trump going to Davos in a couple of weeks to really just hand it to the foreign globalists and what they have in store for us. We're turning that around. And I think you got to do it. You got to work locally. So here's that clip. Here's the end of the show. So thanks for watching. Alex Jones is up next.
Is Davos ready for Donald Trump? In less than 2 weeks, the president is going to march his full economic team into the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. You could say he's walking into the lion's den, except that he's the lion. And the globalists know it. Yesterday, the New York Times shrieked that Donald Trump has set himself above international law. They wrote, on topic after topic, President Trump made clear he would be the arbiter of any limits to his authority, not international law or treaties. But it's not international law they're worried about. It's their entire globalist system. And that is what Trump was.
That's interesting. I thought this clip was 14 minutes and we're going to play the last five, but apparently a glitch happened. So I'm going to have time for at least one, maybe two more callers. Let's go to, I got three callers online. Let's go to Frank in Ohio. Need your help, Frank. How you doing?
Rob, good. How you been, man?
I'm good.
Good, yeah. So I wanted to ask you, when you first came on to InfoWars back in the day, I remember meeting you at Occupy, the Occupy protest in Dallas. Did you think that InfoWars and the InfoWar would have as much success as it has?
I think the reason we have our success is because, you know, Alex, the founder and leader of this organization, refuses to submit, refuses to say no, refuses to quit. The reason we're still here on the air today is because we've refused to say, okay, you could come in here and take over this operation. We've used every imaginable, legal maneuver to stay here and stay on the air. And when they came in and tried to just shut off the internet and kick us out, it took us a day, but we were back on the air. And there you can see the video of Alex bringing the sink back in. So I don't know if I ever thought it would be this big. Honestly, I never thought Trump would run for president. And I kind of thought Trump was a joke. And a lot of people still might think Trump is a joke. But I think he's really doing some things to help the capitalist system. And that's the system we have here. We don't have a utopia where everybody works 2 hours a day. We have a system where you have to get up and work, but it's been rife with fraud. And that's not Trump's fault. Trump didn't create the fraud. Trump didn't initiate the fraud. Trump's not perpetrating the fraud. He's trying to end the fraud. And we can see there's lots of people against him. Every leftist federal judge is trying to stop what he's doing. People in his own party are trying to stop what he's doing. They're trying to stymie him. They're trying to wait him out. So I really think, I wish we had that full piece on the Prometheus Project, because it really talks about what he's going to do to go in there and tell the globalists that things are changing. And we saw him just get out of the UN, out of 66 different treaties. He said, no, we're not doing these treaties anymore. So yeah, it's, in some ways, it's bigger than I thought it could be, but in other ways, we still have a long way to go, so we can't stop here. Let's end with David in Nevada, repression of the small churches. Go ahead, David.
Hey, this is Pastor Dave from Alpha Omega Free Church. You can find us online at alphaomega.church. Today, I want to talk about belief formation as the real reason why Donald Trump, Alex Jones, and every single independent church in America is under attack today. You know, here at Alpha Omega, we've always been a self-financing church, and we never have and never, ever will apply for any government grants. We're a church. We're not a food pantry. We're not a charity. We're a church. And it used to be easy for us to self-finance using digital advertising and selling our books and courses on our website.
But 10 seconds.
Sure.
Give us a final word.
Okay, and that's... Well,
I know you had a lot more.
All
right, we got it out there. Alpha Omega Church, check them out.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of the Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.